This is PFW in progress.
Here's a nice piece of sh.
PFW in progress.
Get poop again.
He called the sh. Pull up.
This is the best night of my life.
With Red Kirsch.
Shatter.
Paul Perillo.
Where's my snack pack?
You've got a banana. You don't need no snack pack.
You know I like snack pack. Why can't you just give me a snack pack?
And Andy. And Andy?
Whoa. The part of the story I don't like is that the little boy gave up looking for Happy after an hour. That little boy's got to think. You got a pet. You got a responsibility.
Andy Hart.
If your dog is lost, you don't look for an hour then call it quits. You get your ass out there and you find that dog.
Some guy named Tom.
I am the smartest man alive!
And you never know, Rory might stop by.
Oh, I want to touch the hiney.
PFW in progress.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
All right, welcome to PFW in progress, and if you want to get dumber, listen to us for the next 2 hours.
Well done, Fred. Yeah. That might be your best open ever
Okay. Well, anyway, here we are, Fred Kirsch, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, for another edition of PFW in Progress. It's Wednesday at noon here at Gillette Stadium.
And that's what we do at Wednesday at noon during the off season.
We talk Patriots and whatever else is on your mind.
Oh, no.
What?
Thankfully, Idol's done, so you can't talk about that.
But we did get, I was looking at the emails as they come in, Fred, and we did get a request to not give away all the Soprano stuff.
Why, is it over?
I didn't see it this week either.
No, well, this wasn't a live one this week.
Was it?
No, the final one is still for this season is...
You realize, Fred, there's only one more left, so I wouldn't miss that one if I was you. It's the last one.
Not forever.
No, there's eight
more. Well, apparently they're going to have 8 more years, so they just keep telling you.
8 more episodes, not 8 more years.
I'll believe it.
He's the most bitter guy ever.
Do you have HBO?
Yeah.
Okay, so you watch it?
Tom has HBO.
Fred, don't we talk about this every Monday when I walk in?
What is wrong with you?
I don't know.
What do you think? I'm just reading it on the internet and chiming in.
Don't you remember the whole get back and forth between you and Tom when Tom was saying he wanted more action?
And you like the guy taking
the
dump?
No, guys, go to the bathroom. That's what really happens.
What's the gabagoo? She's like, there's no gabagoo. He's like, there's no gabagoo. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address.
Yeah,
Webradio@patriots.com.
And
Doug Flutie
started out
still
with the USFL. Donald Trump had the opportunity to play with Herschel Walker.
So what's the news, guys? What do we got? Anything good?
We got news. Nothing. Well, I don't know. What do we have for news?
No, nothing lately on Ty Law. We haven't heard a thing.
Well, Jeremy Lloyd was released. Did we get that news? I don't know. Did that happen since the last time we had a show?
If a Jeremy Lloyd is on your team and gets released and
not
you never
on the
knew
team,
it, did it really happen?
I mean, he was on the team for all of, what, a month?
Less than a month.
Yeah.
I believe it was May 8th to May 26th.
Because I have to write his entire Patriots career in the upcoming issue of Patriots Football Weekly in the first down
season. As his signing,
it was signed and then cut.
When a guy like that gets signed and cut so quickly, I mean, they haven't had a camp or anything. I assume he's here for the conditioning program.
Right.
Does that mean he probably did something that they just said, you know what, we don't need you? You know, like being late for a meeting or something like that?
Could be. I don't know.
I think any kind of situation like that I don't think should be ruled out. You know, maybe he was like late 3 days in a row to his workout or meeting or whatever.
Even he started to work out and they're like, wow, this is the weakest guy I've ever seen.
Maybe
he's
they saw something.
Or they went out there. I mean, let's face it. They do some stuff too and he just didn't really translate to their kind of player. I don't know, but... To have it be that quick, I think it might be something more than just football.
I was reading Ask PFW yesterday that Andy did from his deathbed.
It's amazing he was able to...
I wouldn't say deathbed. More like a dump bed.
I get this call, Fred, I'm not feeling well. I was up all night with, my stomach issues.
Okay.
So, but he managed, to mail it in. Literally.
Literally.
What do you mean? I don't have any questions.
No, but it's good to see. I was going to just say, the reason I brought it up is good to see that you're fully on the Monty Beisel bandwagon now.
I have been. I've come full circle.
Actually, Andy and I have
took
been...
took too much of a beating. and on the field.
And we've been
off
in agreement.
Off the field, not so much.
Yeah, he created a lot of his own problems off the field. But we've been in agreement on him. I don't think that he was as big a problem as he was painted out to be. On the field, physically on the field.
And I am on the opposite side of that.
Yeah, and Tom,
he's on the Eric Alexander bandwagon.
I think Monty Beisel's a joke. I think he was pushed around by every team that he played against.
I don't think he was pushed around. What does Chad Brown
have to do with somebody blocking Monty Beisel and pushing him back?
Well,
I think Chad Brown was pushed around.
Yeah, I saw Chad Brown get blown up like I've never seen it in that Denver game. When his heels were up by his head and got folded in half by, I mean, I've never seen a guy get blown up on a block like that.
Monty Beisel didn't get blown up. He ran by guys and tried to arm tackle guys, and it didn't
and
work.
And he didn't do enough to
react. Why is that changing?
Well, I think
he's going to be more comfortable in the system.
And I also think that he played better later in the season when he was playing on a limited basis. I thought he played well against Jacksonville.
Because he's a backup
linebacker. Let me say this.
Play on a limited basis.
I'm sort of in the middle. I'm not painting the guy out to be
Dick Butkus here. I just don't think he was the bigger problem. I think the secondary was the bigger problem.
I'll just say I'm not comfortable having him as one of my starting inside linebackers.
Oh, I am.
I think he's a nice rotation guy, a guy who has to come in for a couple of games.
Who are you going to start?
Well, I'm just saying. Because
if we're going to say degrees of comfortability, that's not a word, but
comfort.
I mean, who do you put higher?
Oh, I'm not saying
you've got to put four linebackers out there if you play a 3-4.
Look, I'm not saying I have a better alternative. I just think that that's an area now that you have to look at as a weakness.
Yeah, everybody knows that. You point to that. I mean, are you comfortable if Rishay Caldwell's your number two receiver?
Not right now.
Teams have weaknesses.
That's all I'm saying.
See, I'm going to go the opposite. And Tom, I don't want you to miss it. I'm not painting Monty Beisel out to be, you know, as good as Teddy Bruschi and Ted Johnson inside, or, you know, a quality, top flight inside linebacker. Clearly, this is right now the one area that you have some concern. You have three solid linebackers and one question mark. I just don't think that in itself is this major, major hole that it's being painted out to be right now. I think that he is okay. I think he's a serviceable player. Yeah, I don't think he's a great player.
He's a serviceable, okay player.
And, right. I think that his bigger problem, whereas I think Chad Brown got pushed around a lot, I think that Monty Beisel didn't do enough of that read and reacting, and he just kind of penetrated and went. And I think it comes with that transition. And look, maybe he's fooling me by the way he's talking, and maybe I'll say, you know, 2 weeks into the preseason, boy, I was just wrong about this guy. He runs around, he doesn't have what it takes. But I think playing next to Teddy Bruschi, which he did not do for a single play last year, never had the opportunity to play with Teddy Bruschi, he was playing with Chad Brown, and that's a big difference. I think that will help him immensely this year. I don't think he'll be asked to do as much as he was asked to do last year, and I think that will help him.
That doesn't
make him an all-pro caliber player. I just think it makes him a serviceable player.
In Beisel's defense, there was a time where I used to call Bruschi the Tasmanian devil, because he would run around in a circle and end up on the ground and never touch
anyone.
And
it took him a long
time.
Took him a while to understand.
He still does it on occasion. And he's a great linebacker for this team.
Yeah.
But the thing we're not throwing in there.
Who's the run-stuffing linebacker? We had Bruschi playing next to Ted Johnson.
It'll be Bruschi. It was Bruschi next to Roman Pfeiffer. It's Bruschi.
Yeah, when Ted Johnson was hurt, when Brian Cox was hurt in the past, Teddy Bruschi filled that role.
It's Bruschi. But the thing we're forgetting, and if you want to talk about getting pushed around, it's your boy, Fred, who was getting pushed around for the first half of the year, and that's Vince Wilfork, who was playing safety. So we forget that there were a lot. It wasn't just Teddy Bruschi came back and Mike Vrabel moved in. Well, Richard Seymour came back and Vince Wilfork started playing like an NFL lineman instead of a guy on roller skates. Well, so there are a lot of different factors here. We're not just saying all of a sudden Monty Beisel's great. There are a lot of factors that decrease how good he has to be to just fit in with a unit. And I think that's what he's going to be asked to do rather than all the other stuff
that he was incapable of
last September.
Because I know that's what's going to happen. Beisel is just going to be, you know, so-so, and people, geez, you had him in the Pro Bowl, you know.
Pro Bowl, I want him to be the fourth best linebacker on the team.
Right, and that's all I'm saying that he is.
Fortunately, he is.
And, you know, I would feel a lot more comfortable with him out there than right now any of the other alternatives on the roster.
Let me ask you something. I always heard and thought this was a correct assessment. To play the 3-4, you need to have five or six decent linebackers on your team.
Because in theory, but last year they
I would say five.
So aren't you running a big risk going this thin at linebacker? I mean, if there's one injury to any one of those big three, they're hurt.
That's how they finished the year last year.
I think
they had four guys.
I also think if you don't have four or five decent linebackers, you better have at least one stud. And I don't think they've got that right now. They don't have.
I was taking shots at the rest of the linebackers. They're not as good as
I think.
I think Bruschi and Vrabel are as good as anybody.
I think they're very good, but they don't have a guy who's just a game breaker. You know.
Well,
what do you characterize as a game breaker?
Well, like an Andre Tippett or a Lawrence Taylor or
Okay, then I agree. Then I agree.
Generational type players.
I agree with you. They don't have the best linebacker that's ever put on a uniform.
So you better have
very high standards. I don't know how we continue to be employed around
here. He does have very high. But you know what? He's very consistent with that.
But I'm just saying, if you're running a 3-4, your linebackers is the core of your defense. They better be solid across the board.
And I think that you have your three best defensive players. Well, three of your four best defensive players don't want to forget about Seymour are linebackers, in my opinion.
Oh, if Harrison's in there, I'd say he's better.
But he's not.
No. But
I think you're running a huge risk, because if Vrabel gets hurt, like say Vrabel gets hurt, that's a nightmare, in my opinion. Because he's the one that can't be
lost. You're 1,000% correct.
Any of them get hurt.
But I
even
don't feel
if, I mean, because now we're talking about Beisel is capable of being the fourth.
Right.
Well, now we're talking about he's the third and somebody else is the fourth who we're not even mentioning.
But the alternative is if you play a 4-3.
Well, that's what I'm just
saying. If one of the defensive linemen, you only have four defensive linemen in my mind.
So thank
if
you,
one of
Mike
those guys gets hurt.
Right. Unless
you're in
you get wowed by a Mike Wright in year two or a, LeKeven.
Yeah.
You don't have enough defensive linemen.
The Kevin Smith.
Your depth up front is a concern.
Yeah, I mean, I think that their play, you know, Warren, Wilfork, and Seymour, I think, are very, very good. But I don't think that's a deep position. A lot of other people disagree with me on that. I don't think that's a very deep spot, and I think that's one of the reasons why the 3-4 makes a lot of sense. That's not the reason the Patriots do it. They do it because that's what Belichick wants. He definitely feels disguising those linebackers and having them do different things, having guys stand up, confusing the offense. We've seen it work so many. How many times have we seen guys come off the edge completely untouched because they confused the offense? That doesn't happen because, you know, the offensive game plan was to let Mike Vrabel come in, you know, without blocking him. They confused the offense, and that's
Mike
what Belichick
Vrabel
likes
well,
to
I
do.
I think in a 3-4, if you're willing to really commit to it, it gives you more flexibility.
Yeah,
and
I
you
think
have
that's
more
what
athletes
Bill likes
on the field at any one time.
Right.
Guys that can do different things.
In theory.
But now if you only have three
linebackers, what do you do?
If you lose either Bruschi or Vrabel, those two in particular, I think that you are in a lot of trouble.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to be interesting to watch them play the Bengals and the Colts and those kind of offenses that they couldn't stop last year, because I'm going to be interested to see if there's a huge difference this year. Because if you look at the secondary still, you know.
Well, they had a hard time stopping those offenses 2 years ago when they were at the height of their game in 2004. They were absolutely as dominant an NFL team as an NFL team could be. 14-2, they rolled through the playoffs. They dismantled the Colts in Pittsburgh in the two playoff games. But in the regular season that year, Cincinnati racked up, 28 points. I think it was 35-28. Very high score.
Nobody had more if Carson Palmer had.
And had Carson Palmer not gotten hurt in that game, it may have been worse.
Nobody did to him what the Colts did to him last year.
No.
I mean, they toyed with him like a mouse.
No.
Well injuries,
but also, that was a shell of what you're talking about even now.
Right.
Well, I'm just saying it's going to be interesting to see how, if Brady has to play that gunslinger role again and try to keep up with the Colts, like last year, or if the defense is improved with those guys coming back and they play the Colts like they used to, with even like if it's the 24-28 type game.
Yeah, I would expect something closer to that. I wouldn't think that, you know, I wouldn't expect to see teams putting up 40 plus points, and the Colts did that easily.
Yeah,
I mean, they did it almost effortlessly the way they. But I wouldn't see the Patriots being. Hey, look, 2 years in a row they got really destroyed by injuries. I mean, really 3 years in a row if you go back to 2003. So I can't say that it's not going to happen again, but
it's the same story
you're
for
end
every
up
team.
You're going to end up with Dwayne Starks and
there's no team out there
Chad
that
Brown
you can
again.
Say, well, they lost two starters at linebacker, and they are solid. You know, I mean, every team, there's only so much depth to go around. And
Right,
which gets back to the discussion we had last week about expansion. I don't think that helps.
No.
Right.
You know?
But I just Tom, so we're posing some questions here, and it's nice to see that we can address these questions, because it seems like there's been this trend of emailers that look at the Patriots' schedule and don't understand how they're not going to dominate the AFC again. And you know, did you see? Read one of the AskPFWs was naming all the questions that all the other teams have, and my response was, "Well, what about the Patriots' questions?
Everybody like, has
number
questions.
Two receiver, number four linebacker, secondary.
Especially
everybody
this time
has
of
questions.
Year, everybody has reasons why they can win." And everybody has questions as to why they won't win.
Well, I like the one.
And the truth is in the middle between
why have
the two.
A leak? Right. You know
the
I mean?
Patriots
why
aren't great right now, and they're not awful. They're in the middle, and how they develop in camp is how they'll be.
We all thought the Bears were going to win their division last year, right?
Right. Well, that's what I was going to say. Tom,
Rex Grossman gets hurt.
Tom likes to talk about the experts that come out, and they'll tell you, well, you know, it's going to be Pittsburgh and Seattle in the Super Bowl this year. You know, who couldn't do that? You know, the NBA playoffs just, you know, are well underway now. Before they started, you know, you see all these experts. Well, I mean, just, you know, let's wipe everything away. It's going to be San Antonio and Detroit. Well, what kind of a league would that be if that's what happened all the time? Who would have any interest in it at all? If we could just sit here and say, well, the Patriots are, you know, without no questions asked, going to go to the Super Bowl again, that's not really much intrigue.
Well, I'm saying it.
I think they have as good a chance as anybody, Fred.
Well, that's because you're in Boston. If you were in Indianapolis, we'd be saying the Colts are going.
No, I think the Colts have as good a chance as anybody, too.
I don't think the Colts fans are willing to say that anymore.
Why?
Well, the Colts definitely have as good a chance as anybody.
They do have a – but I'm talking about their fans are getting a little bit now to the point where
– Yeah, they're getting a little nervous.
I heard an Indianapolis fan say, hey, look, I love Peyton Manning. He's done a lot from this franchise. And I'm not saying that he can't win the big one, but he hasn't yet.
And all it takes is one to eliminate that.
You and your serious satellite radio.
Well, that's how I get.
But there's
no question. I get a perspective outside of.
Remember when they used to say that about John Elway?
Well, that's what I was going to say. All it takes is one.
Yes, they did.
And he was paired up with Terrell Davis.
If he wins it, then what? Is he better than Brady, or Brady has three, then Manning has one and all the records? I mean, how do you do that? You know what I'm saying?
It'll all be about Joseph Addai.
Still Brady's better because
I think Brady's better. I'm asking you though,
because he never faltered in the big game.
I think there's some people in Denver that
Bailey
might disagree
about
that.
You know what I mean.
Even he admitted faltered.
It's really not much of a use to talk about it with the four of us. I think we all in agreement that, you know, Brady's the best.
Right.
So it's not exactly the most unbiased
and
panel.
And we base that on
even
what
Gary
he's done.
Thinks Brady's good.
We base that on what he's done. I mean,
from one metro to another.
I mean,
although it did take a couple people on this panel, the Steelers Colts game, to realize that fact.
Right.
Realize what?
For the record.
No.
We all said Brady was good.
Yeah. No.
Just we didn't know Peyton Manning was a choke artist.
Brady is good.
No.
Wow.
No, but my opinion of Manning changed on that Steelers Colts game, not my opinion of Brady.
I like your boob.
My opinion of Brady was cemented.
I think Peyton Manning is great.
My opinion.
I'm going to say great. I think he's an amazing.
Oh, I think he's great, too.
I'm sure he's great.
I think he's great, too. But
ever since I heard that story about the ground ball going through his legs at shortstop in a high school championship baseball game,
there is something to the fact that he does not play as well when
adjust.
The stakes are highest.
Yeah.
And I think
that goes back to college, his games against Florida, his bowl games. I mean, he always struggled in those games. And it gets a little, I think, embarrassing to keep saying it's the team. He left Tennessee.
They won the national title next year. And I was, you know what's funny is because I came full circle on him. I didn't think he was going to be that good in the pros. I was way off. I mean, I just, based on what I had seen in college, those Florida games, and every year it was the same thing, throwing for 335 yards, no touchdowns, three interceptions against Florida. I mean, you could put it in the book. I mean, you know, as you know, Fred, I tend to dabble a little bit in that area. I won that one every year. I would, without question, I would lay the points when Florida was playing Tennessee every time. And I didn't think he was going to be that good. I was wrong. He obviously is a lot better quarterback than I gave him credit for, but you can't get beyond that. For whatever reason, when the stakes are the highest, he doesn't seem to play a normal, quote-unquote, Peyton Manning game.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems when he comes up against a team that really has a good game plan, he doesn't adjust.
Yeah, and I don't think it has anything to do. A lot of people around here say, well, when he plays against teams with good defenses, it's because the AFC South, you know, they stay. It has nothing to do with that. I think there might be something to do with him getting a little tight, But I've seen him rip apart good defenses, and I've seen him rip apart bad defenses. I mean, I don't really think
it's
it has much to do with
definitely something.
That.
It's weird because the way the Colts didn't think the Steelers were going to play them like the Chargers was weird to me. Like, you figured they run a similar kind of 3-4 defense. You had to think that the Steelers were going to watch tape of what the Chargers did and do something similar, and it was like they weren't even ready for it. Yeah. It was a weird game to see.
It could be simply that their line was mismatched. They just couldn't handle it, but... I mean, there's ways around that, too.
He
get
took
rid of
lot,
the ball quicker.
He took a lot of heat.
Give the ball to Edgerrin for crying out loud.
He took a lot of heat, and rightly so, for his comment about the offensive line.
Yeah.
But watching the game, the offensive line was the problem. It didn't look like there was any, Tom just said it. Didn't look like there was anything really fancy or exotic about what Pittsburgh did.
Yeah.
It was the same stuff that San Diego did, where they just would kind of stand two guys up, walk them to the line, and one of them would go and one of them wouldn't, and they were clueless against San Diego. And they were equally as clueless against Pittsburgh. It didn't look like there was any guys losing one-on-one battles. It was guys missing assignments.
Yeah,
you know, from what I could see.
All right, some news this week that kind of circulating. A lot of teams are having mini camps this week, and
interesting stuff.
Of course, there's the rule, the collective bargaining agreement rule, that they're not supposed to have any contact, full contact during mini camps. Which are, you know, of course, are these voluntary?
These are mandatory.
These are mandatory
one,
ones?
One involuntary camp per team per season, unless there's a new coaching staff.
But I thought the Patriots one was in June.
Yes.
We are in June.
Tomorrow.
Okay, anyway. So these are voluntary camps, but even though they're not supposed to put pads on, full pads, and they're not supposed to hit.
Yeah, no pads, just helmets.
So I guess
but
now
there's not supposed to be any contact.
Kansas City, I guess, had some video up on their site that...
Well, now all the teams, Seattle, the Colts, a couple other teams have submitted from around the league to Mike Florio's site on Pro Football Talk, and they're all pretty harmless.
Yeah,
photos, and I think
grabbing each other's shoulders and stuff.
Yeah, and it's just kind of like, you know, offensive and defensive linemen, arms extended. You know, obviously there's contact. You're touching the person, but I wouldn't say it's hitting or anything
That's stupid.
Yeah, it's.
I mean, what are you going to do? Literally a walkthrough where nobody can touch anybody and nobody can go full speed for three steps.
You know,
and
the ones I found the most interesting are the bump and run with the cornerbacks and receivers. I mean, if you're going to sit there and tell some kid that he's going to have to try to, you know, Willie Andrews is going to have to go out and try to cover Chad Jackson, and he can't actually put a finger on Chad Jackson because it's against the CBA.
Right.
I mean, you got to change the
rule. Tough time making the team.
Well, the
funny part is, I'm sure the stuff we see that they may or may, you know, get in trouble for last year with the Redskins, whatever, I'm sure is the least blatant of half the rules they break throughout the offseason in terms of going past
the limits.
That's
the other part of it, and Fred and I were talking about it yesterday, Andy, when you were dealing with your intestinal issues, but Kansas City evidently edited out their video. They had a video clip on their website.
And I want to know who cut the cheese.
that had some contact shown, and they edited it out, but... Obviously, Florio already had it because he has some still shots there from it now. And you know, Fred was saying how the webmaster's probably like, you know, if they want me to put it on there, they want me to put it on there. Tell me to take it off, I take it off.
Giddy up.
And, you know, you can bet that the powers that be here are probably saying, see, this is why we don't want any of this stuff out there. To which I looked at Fred and I was like, well, isn't the bigger issue here not that some poor guy, you know, who's a webmaster is actually doing what he's told and, you know, putting some video on the website for the fans to generate interest in the team that he works for. Isn't it the responsibility of the team to follow the rules, comply?
Or get the rule changed.
You know, if you have a guy who's on injured reserve practicing in the middle of the season and you don't want that video out there,
but that's what I'm saying. That's different. That's blatant.
This
is stupid rules.
We're talking about both those things in mind. I'd say to every team, you have to have all of your practice on the web. Make it available for the fans on the web. Not regular practice, but mini camp.
Right.
It has to all be on that way.
But the bigger problem is they meet 35 times a year. They have all these committees that set up all these rules. Change the stupid rule.
And it's a very vague rule, too.
Right.
Florio has pointed that out time and time again. But it's funny how much, you know, it's how much play it's getting. I just don't see that much. Personally, I don't have really much interest in it.
Yeah,
and I know, it's only interesting when the players complain about it.
Right.
Detroit had the big thing that they complained about. Last year it was Washington. The Giants with Coughlin. when the players complain about it, okay, now I'm on board. Now it's a story because the players are upset about it. Right. But if no one's talking about it, don't show me a video clip and, you know, see two guys.
Wow, are you down on Mike Florio?
Yeah,
Pro
well,
Football
I think
talk?
He's making too much of it, yes.
Wow.
Maybe he'll hear us and he'll call in and say that I'm carrying the team's water.
That's true.
Well, you know,
I've often been accused of that.
I happen to think that, you know, they should allow contact. And teams are going to have to take it, you know.
Well, Florio says they should allow them to put pads on, so if they're going to hit,
yeah,
they're
at least
protected.
And teams know that, hey,
that
look,
I agree with.
If a guy gets hurt in minicamp, I have to pay him now. So it's at their own risk to how violent they want to make their practices this early in the season, you know. So, I don't know.
They should be able to do whatever they want.
It's the nature of the sport. I mean, you got to have people touching each other.
Yeah, I don't think too many people would have full contact mini camps anyways. You don't want to wear your players out.
You have a lot of full contact in training camps.
But if you want to, do it.
Right.
And I don't. It's a dictatorship.
And those teams
coach
that
decides
do,
what goes on.
You know, think about it. Let's say you're going to have
Andy Hart, old school. He's not a man of the people anymore, Tom.
Let's say you're going to have a full contact minicamp first week in June, all right? So you put it with pads. You put them in pads. They're going to be gone.
I assumed pads.
They're going to be gone until the end of July now. So what good did it really do you?
And you really know? Can't do it because all camps, even full contact camps, they always do the 3 days of whatever. They always have you ease into it and get the body ready.
Right.
Even
you
here,
don't have the time.
You
got
to pass the conditioning test. Then you have to put in a couple practices before you can go full contact. And it's the same at all levels. So it's not like in a 2 day camp, they're going to go, boom, we're hitting.
Yeah.
I mean, you just couldn't do it. So let them do whatever they want to do.
So, and I think most players
don't care.
Now, one
I'd rather have pads on because you know what's most annoying is when your brother-in-law and it not going full speed and some guy hits you and you don't have pads on. That's stupid.
Now, I think the deal with the Giants last year wasn't so much the hitting, but it was the length of practices and I think things like that.
Oh, baby.
Well, you know.
Well, it was the they were
no, like
showing they were showing up on time for meetings, but he wanted them 3 minutes early,
5 minutes,
whatever, and things like that.
He has that right. He's the head coach.
I agree.
You know,
if not, turn in your paycheck and go home.
That's the you know, the owners and general managers. They're the guys that hired them.
I mean, are we going to get to the point where it's like baseball, where like you have no control over a player that you just let them make all the rules and you can't do anything?
This is the opposite. The players association has these things in place, but they don't do anything about
it.
All right. What else is going on?
Well, one other thing that was in that portion of Pro Football Talk today that I found interesting was.
By the way, thank God for Pro Football Talk.
Well, because otherwise we wouldn't have anything to talk about.
He's the only one that really keeps track of all this stuff.
But did you see
that Paul's saying he shouldn't because no one cares?
I'm just saying overall.
This is one issue I think that he's making more out of than maybe the general public.
It's the off season, and you know he has to.
And he's gotten a lot of emails about it, saying you know why are you making such a big deal out of it. But he had another mention of Gene Upshaw, perhaps not doing a lot to fight for the players because back of his mind he still has that commissioner thing in mind. And I know that you don't think that that's a possibility, but there's a lot of talk about that with league insiders.
I said this last year. Whoever it is will be a no-name guy. Because the owners want to run this league. They don't want somebody coming in.
But wait a minute. If they can control him as the head of the players' union, I certainly think they'd be able to control him as the head of the
NFL. If you're looking for a guy that you can have control over.
But you get a guy like that, once he's in there, then things happen and he starts to...
I don't think that would be a concern.
I think that he would be the definition of what you're talking about.
Yeah. I think you need an effective, smart manager.
Okay, maybe not so much anymore.
Okay.
But I'm talking about a guy who's
just a
figurehead.
No, it's
figurehead that you
thought it was
control.
Just a guy you wanted to push around as the 32 owner.
No, it's not necessarily a figurehead. You want somebody who's smart, but you don't want somebody who's going to be stealing headlines and looking for glory and all that stuff.
Okay.
So the owners want all the glory, is what you're telling me?
Exactly. Okay. Their league. They own the league, you know? You know, so.
Okay.
So that's why I don't think you'll see, you know.
But it's August 18th or 12th that we're going to find out by?
That's when
the 18th is the date, but most people think that there's no chance.
So what's the date then?
We know it's
I
not
thought
Jeff
that was
Bush.
Like, we're going to have
it's when they
I know,
get
like,
one.
Brett Favre, we just keep pushing it back.
It's when they get one. All right, what else? Nothing else?
Talked to Ryan Claridge last week.
Yeah, he's glad to be on the team.
He's happy to be a member of the team. Yes, he's looking forward to being part of the team.
That was actually the headline on Patriots.com.
That's the thing that he missed the most.
I can help the ball
you
club.
Think this guy has a chance to be a factor in the linebacker? You know, we're talking about linebackers. We never really mentioned him.
No, because he's a rookie. He's basically
I have no idea anything about him. I mean,
me and Paul were talking off the radio, and I just, you know, and I asked him, usually rookies are, or it was on the roster report, I think, that rookies are usually here. You know,
by the way, which is available for downloading in the podcast.
Yes, we did talk about Ryan.
He plummeted.
And we were talking about...
Oh, we're still up there. Guess who plummeted right off the board?
The Giants?
Giants.
I saw us, we were like 92.
Now we're back up to 76 as of this morning.
Okay.
Packers are starting to fall a little bit.
I'm efforting that.
Efforting what?
What our current ranking is on iTunes.
To find the red jack that you need right now?
69.
yeah, so Tom, wait a minute. Tom was in the middle of a point.
I forgot what we were talking about. Ryan Clarridge, and I just asked Paul, I said, guys who are injured, don't they usually stick around? He said, yeah, you know, they usually go to meetings and
seen but not
like
heard.
That.
He was
but he went to, he,
not seen
he
heard.
Rehabbed in Las Vegas and just even wasn't even around. So I think it's hard to expect him to come in, know the system, and, you know, maybe as a special teams backup type guy, but I don't think you're going to see him in the regular rotation at linebacker.
See, that's how I felt about it, and I still feel about it. But
so he's Matt Chatham.
Talk to a couple of...
I ain't saying anything about Matt Chatham. That way, I look back, I never wrote a bad thing about him.
Talk to a couple of media guys, and they seem to think that he is part of the plans and that he is potentially a factor in the rotation.
Who? Butch Stearns?
No.
Ed Sarandis?
Tom Curran of the Providence Journal and Mike Reese of the Boston Globe. They both feel that he is he's in the mix.
Paul Perillo right on target.
Well, I don't think he is. I think he's what Tom just said. Special team guy, young guy,
who'll
be in a fight to earn a roster spot. That's how I feel about him right now.
Okay.
They think that he's a potential, you know, Beisel, Claridge, you know,
I would have to
Eric
say Alexander. Eric
Alexander
would be for. No, I'm just, I knew Andy was going to laugh when I said it.
He's the most immature human on the planet.
I'm just saying, Eric Alexander has been here for 2 years, been part of the system. I've heard he's played well in preseason. That's
played very well last year in the preseason.
So my point is if you were going to look at the two, he would probably be further along in the system and maybe able to have a bigger contribution this season.
I'd probably agree. As well.
Okay. And Chad Jackson, I hear, is continuing to impress people.
Good.
Some to the point of saying that he will start the season as the number two. Now, I'm not buying
it. Can you explain to me what you're talking about? rookie minicamp. No, seriously. I'm not trying to be...
Some have the last name Kraft or anything that we...
No. I'm not looking for him to tell me who said
this. On the private jet?
But my point being... We saw him in rookie minicamp. He was amazingly impressive, we all thought. Well, except for Andy, because he decided to take the weekend
off. I didn't need impressing. I thought he was amazingly impressive before rookie minicamp.
My point is you weren't there. Anyway.
I got your point.
Anyway, he was very impressive. I thought the top three picks really stood out at minicamp. Yeah. Maroney, Jackson, and David Thomas. And we haven't really, I mean, that was the, you know, that was what? May 12th.
The way he's picking up.
We're at May 31st. What are you basing that on?
The way he's picking up what he's being taught, his drills, his work ethic. People think that he might step right in. I'm not buying it yet.
But the only thing is, it's not like a shock. There is an open spot.
No, I know.
Well,
but
I would,
but
I
the
would,
shock is that most usually wide receivers take a little time.
I'm going to be very disappointed if he's not the number
but
two.
But he's not. I mean, he's essentially in the same spot as Rishe Caldwell. It's a new system.
Right.
So that can, you know, it's going to be interesting, though, Fred, because if you get a rookie, first thing you know, week one, you got Nate Clements up in your mug. So then let's see. Because rookies can get discouraged.
He'll be up in Deion Branch's mug.
Well, I know. I'm saying
go, come
if they switch sides and stuff. But if, you know, rookies can get discouraged early on in the year, their first year, especially receivers. I think that's why it takes them a year or two to get going.
Yeah.
So, you know, there are exceptions. Maybe he's one of the exceptions.
And Branch was one.
That's why I said I'll believe it when I see it. I think it's going to take him a little time, but I'm just saying that people are very, very excited about Chad Jackson.
They should be.
I think that he will be a starter.
I don't think he needs the TER.
If I had to, I think he'll probably be a starter by week three or four for sure. Even if he doesn't start the year.
Who will start, Maroney or Dylan?
Dylan.
Dylan.
How long will Dylan start for?
5 weeks. He won't. 5 weeks. He won't even. I was going to say
like that?
The first month.
The first month.
By the time I'm carving my Thanksgiving turkey, Lawrence Maroney will be the established running back.
I say Dylan starts.
I'm saying he's
going to
be the established running back.
Established. Okay.
Right. 12 games.
Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And they both have a good season.
I think that this is funny. I think that Dylan will
he's gonna
be
stick it to all of you.
I think he'll be better.
I don't believe that. For
but I also think he's going to break down again.
I think.
That's why I said 12 games. I'm giving him four to play with.
Some injuries and stuff, and I just think he's such a punishing runner.
Yeah, that's not even a negative.
I know everybody thinks we're making fun of him. We're not.
First game, Dylan will be the starter, but they're going to bring in Maroney. They're going to give him a little swing pass out of the backfield, and he's going to turn it into a big gain, and everyone's going to be Maroney crazy from that point on.
And Dylan never played again.
That would be great. Anyway.
I don't think there's any chance that happens.
Well, I could see something where Dylan comes in, he gets the 22 carries, 88 yards, you know, good numbers, but, you know, maybe Maroney is like 7 carries for like 60 yards, you know, like
right.
a much higher
right.
average,
right.
just much more dynamic.
Larry Johnson.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm not saying Larry Johnson in 2000 yards, but I can definitely see just, you know, Tom's on the same wavelength. I can
okay.
see that.
All
I right. can definitely see him being more impressive in a limited role, and then the question will be, can he do it getting the ball
right.
20 to 25 times?
I just think when you look at Tom Brady. And
I know greatness, I've seen Tom Brady,
and
that's greatness.
You start looking at Corey Dillon getting 3 yards a carry, and then you start seeing Maroney breaking off 25, 30-yard runs, and then you put that together, and what kind of offense you can have with Tom Brady and a big-play running back, that's a lot scarier than someone getting 2-3 yards at a time.
Since right. I think Dillon's going to start like 12 games, can you guarantee me that Maroney will be the starter by the second month of the season so that I'll be right? Because we know how your guarantees pay.
No, I'm not going to guarantee that. I'm with Paul. I think Dillon's going to break down as the season goes on. That's why I said by Thanksgiving. I think once Maroney gets his opportunity, I think that's it.
Well, if he starts going in there and he's breaking 25-yard runs like this week, the next week, he's going to get the bulk of the carries.
I just think he's going to look better. You know,
exactly.
Fred's big thing. It's gonna look better. I think he's gonna be much more dynamic.
You're
aligning
with Fred.
He's gonna be quick. No, I mean like the. His
I'm sure to be right now.
I
think Maroney
are gonna look better than Dylan's 80 yards.
Right, and I think he's gonna be much quicker to the hole, much more dynamic. He's probably gonna make some guys miss a little bit more often. And
gonna
catch
balls out of the back.
And I think, yeah, I mean, based on what I saw in rookie minicamp, I'm not gonna be surprised to see him do that little screen pass thing or swing pass.
I didn't see him drop a pass.
I mean, he showed very, very good hands, and you know he hadn't caught a lot of passes at Minnesota, so we didn't know if that was really a major part of the game. Now Andy talked to his position coach, who said we probably underutilized him in that regard. So he showed in minicamp that he could do that.
Corey Dillon as a backup.
12:41, Gary. So
I'll
it's time
that.
To take a break. We'll be right back.
And that's full time. The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Rams!
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough.
Gillette Stadium explodes.
Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get to Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REVS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the revolution. From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Tom Brady watches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets. tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autograph pre-limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Hi, this is Taylor Twoman with your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy.
Free kick, diving header by Dempsey.
The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2006 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Learn how to develop your game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to see a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you'll have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! Taylor Twoman!
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Swansea, Somerset, Tewksbury, Sudbury, Beverly, Foxborough, Smithfield, Westwood, Marshfield, Bedford, New Hampshire, and Portland. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy.
And a guy that I still consider a friend that I talk to every now and then, not as often as I'd
Paul
like.
Paul Perillo.
That's the Doug. Opportunity to learn under Steve.
I took the headphones off. We were at a break, and the Revs commercial was playing. I put them back on 3 minutes later, and the Revs commercials. Is that one big Revs commercial?
Two different commercials, Fred.
Two different commercials. Well, the Revs season is well underway, and I went to the game on Saturday.
How'd it go?
They tied 1-1.
Oh, so it was an exciting one.
Yeah. Well, I went to see the Red Bull motorcycle guys, and I missed it.
The Red Bull motorcycle
guys? Does the MLS stop for the World Cup?
No.
No.
But each team loses some players.
No, I know that.
You know.
That's an interesting way to go. Well, we lost our four best players, but come out and watch us anyway.
Get your kicks.
We lost just one, Tom.
Yeah, because we're not, nothing.
No, Twelman should have made it.
He's an alternate, right? Oh, yeah, I saw him standing some sign photo that was...
He's Why not Taylor? Huge,
yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So, anyway, if you want Revs tickets, call Gary.
He's got Flex tickets.
Got him. What else is going on around here? Well, the plans are out. Some inside news. Gillette Stadium. In a couple years, the front of Gillette Stadium is going to look completely different than it does right now.
Does this affect me in any way?
Yep.
Talk about that a little
Traffic.
Bit.
Well, the
Robert.
Plans were released to the town of Foxborough for what they call Patriots Place. And
Patriots Place or
Patriot Place? Patriot Place. And it's going to be a combination of restaurants, big box, what they call big box retail, like Bass Pro will be here, nightclubs perhaps.
Nightclubs?
Yeah, all kinds of stuff.
Speaking of big box.
All kinds
of
stuff.
Hey now.
And it'll line the front of the stadium and wrap around the back. And so it's going to be very exciting.
Doesn't sound like anything I'm interested in.
A 14 screen movie theater. So.
Cool. Do we get discounts at all these places?
I don't know, but I know I'll be at the Bass Pro at lunch a lot.
We need an employees-only way to get to the stadium. That's what we need.
We need a what?
An employees-only way to get to the stadium.
Why? You mean during the game?
Yeah.
Oh, I can show you some back roads. I never have a problem. You know, you got to come more than an hour before the game, Tom.
Yeah, because Tom's usually late for the games.
I come 3 hours before the game.
I'll show you.
Giddy
you
up.
Shouldn't have a problem.
I've actually, the only day I ever had a problem getting to the stadium on game day was the snowstorm.
Yeah, you know why? Because they let everybody coming from the north cross over traffic and just stop everybody coming from the south for a half hour, and you sit there.
Well, one of the things that...
Well, obviously, they feel the way I do about being north as opposed to south of the city.
Yeah,
nothing good happens south
of the
city.
One of the things that will happen is the P9 parking lot, which is the southernmost parking lot on the stadium side, will now be under construction. So those spots are going across the street to they bought some new land. It's P10 now. But
they're
already
working on that, right?
Yeah, a lot of work going on.
And they're actually going to build tunnels under Route 1.
For cars?
For fans to walk across so you don't have to stop traffic.
I thought this was going to help my problem, and it doesn't help my problem.
How big is – well, that's going to alleviate the – pedestrian traffic on Route 1.
They stopped me to allow all cars coming from the north to turn left into the Gillette Stadium parking lot.
It's going to be better now.
I sit there and watch cars from the north, and there'll be 600 cars lined up coming from the south, and there's one car coming that's a mile away, and the guy's like, whoa,
so wait,
let's wait for this guy to get here from the north.
Do you get stopped like on the curve, on, you know, coming actually entering that ramp? Where do you get stopped? I don't understand.
Like,
because North
like
people
out
get
in front of where EEI broadcasts from, the broadcast palace at the Rodman Collision, whatever. All through there,
yeah,
they
like
stop
by,
you.
By the,
there's parking
the
lot openings there. And they let people, yeah, the billboards.
Yeah,
they just sit you there while all the important people from the north
yeah,
get to go left
anymore.
And cut across traffic.
It's not going
to
happen.
Fred says it's not going to happen.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah. All right.
I never had a problem, Fred.
Yeah.
I told you, the only time I ever had
because
a problem was
from the
frickin'
during
that
north.
Epic blizzard against Miami. I, you know, was probably here only about 2 hours before the game because of the snow. But every other time I've come on game day, no problem whatsoever with traffic.
I'll show you some back routes.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have problems coming from the south.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you remember the time the dude man tried to use the access road?
You said he worked here. Our request line.
Is that on the... said blizzard when he called it about 10 minutes before kickoff. So I'm leaving now. I'll be there.
Hello, well, this
the,
is
the thing that really
Clark
made me mad is 4 hours earlier, he asked me if the game was, you know, and I said, yeah, get going.
Hello, this is Timothy Frog broadcasting from the Super Bowl.
That's it.
The utter disdain in Fred's voice. That's it?
Okay. I should probably take emails.
email is webradio@patriots.com. Webradio@patriots.com. Justin sent us a pre-mail. He said,
Justin, nice.
Yeah.
He's my favorite fan now.
He said he enjoyed the show last week. He tried to get his boss to allow him to take an early two-hour lunch on Wednesday from 8 a.m. when your show starts up here at 10, but he said no, and then I could get a life, whatever. So I'll stick to the podcast. On my questions, Fred, please don't edit me for content like last week. Did I edit him?
Probably.
I don't know. We don't have access to the email.
Yeah,
so
I trust him.
All Right is the title of this first entry. He says, what are your thoughts on Mike Wright? He seems like he has potential from last season's limited performance. Do you see him on the roster this year, or was he just better than Bailey and we needed someone? Mike Wright.
Well, you needed someone. He was better. I think he'll be on the roster. In looking at him this offseason, he has put on a ton of muscle and dropped in body fat, claims he's actually faster, and his goal in terms of playing time is to replace Matt Chatham on all the special teams. And he did that last year in the preseason. He backed up linebacker-type spots in coverage units on the kickoff kick coverage. So, you know, he has that ability, and he's gotten away from a little bit more, because at times last year he was playing the nose. He is kind of more, as he puts it, they have Jarvis backing up Richard, and I'm looking to back up Ty on that end of the line.
You told me a lot of that story, but I don't remember those two points about Warren and about trying to replace Chatham.
No, he was no one
can replace Matt Chatham.
I guess on like a special teams depth chart, he was behind Chatham at a couple different spots, and he goes, obviously those are now open, and I want to fill those. And he also said, you know, he made it kind of clear that Jarvis is Richard's backup, is the way he put it. I want to back up Ty or on Ty's side.
I remember you telling me that, and then my question to you was, well, who's Vince's backup? And then we kind of just sat there
the
like
Kevin?
Heard crickets in the background.
Right. He's open, obviously, to playing whatever, but he just doesn't think he's a prototypical nose tackle, and he's not. I mean, he's got speed, very muscular build, more athletic-type build, even though he is, I think he's pushed him. He was in the 290s. He said he actually lost weight as the year went on last year. But he's now a 300-pound type defensive lineman, but he's still
he's not
an
Vince
end
Wolfer,
type.
300
no.
pounds.
Well, I think he just
Vince Wilfork is like a 350 pounds. That's the difference.
Justin,
it's a big safety.
Next entry is Bush League. He says, last week we were talking about numbering, and I just wanted to throw my week-old response into the enjoyable verbal quagmire that is PFW in progress. Numbering is important for one reason. We were talking about why, you know. Eligibility on a forward pass. It would be a total nightmare for officials if all numbers were made available for any player. Umpires, football official behind the linebackers, look for the O-line to have the correct numbers in the correct positions on every play.
Can we address this?
Without numbering, it can be very difficult to tell who should and shouldn't be downfield when a pass is thrown. However,
but he said he listened.
I think that if the NFL decided to mimic the NCAA and only restrict the offensive line, number 50 to 79, that would be fine. I cannot think of another on-field reason for the number restriction required by the NFL. If it doesn't make football sense, then it's probably a money thing.
Except you can't wear number one, because that shouldn't be allowed.
You can see the PFW in progress from 5:24 in its entirety for our thoughts on that,
okay,
which pretty much coincide with everything he just wrote.
His next entry is blackout. Since being forced to move up to Alaska when I was young, one benefit, besides no state or local tax, has been that I never had to sit through a blackout of a game. Can you explain exactly what that is? I assume it's if Gillette doesn't completely sell out, then the TV networks can't broadcast the game on local TV. Is that accurate? Yes, it is. If that's correct, are we to assume that no resident of Tempe or Phoenix has ever seen a Cardinal game on TV?
A home game.
Yeah. Right. Also, since the Pats have sold out for so long now, when was the last blackout in New England?
Fred looks at me. I'm going to go with January 2nd, 1994, the final game of the 93 regular season.
I think that one got sold out.
Miami. That was not on TV. That was blackout.
Sure? I was at that game.
So then how would you know?
No, but I thought I remembered that.
It was an overtime touchdown pass from...
Yeah, it was a great game.
God in a body to Michael Timpson to win the game. But that was blackout.
God in a body.
Who do you think?
Bledos.
Sounds like some African basketball player that's going to get drafted.
I think the actual rule for blackouts, teams have until Thursday at
the
a certain
before
time.
The game, they have to be within like...
Yeah, it's a certain percentage and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. That's why some teams like Jacksonville... They change their capacity every year and cover up seats so that their TV capacity is, so they can actually get on the air. But forever the Patriots weren't. I can remember, I only watched, late 80s, early 90s, only watched away games.
They would have one game not get blacked out every year. It was always Miami. That was the only game that would sell out. And then,
So that's what Fred's saying is why that was a sellout.
But it wasn't. That last game wasn't a sellout.
Were you at that game?
No.
I was. I was actually in the press box.
Gary says he was.
Why are you in the press box?
Playing
I was covering
solitaire.
It for another magazine.
Ah.
New England Runner?
No, New England Sport.
Oh, good.
Making
good,
fun
great
of me?
Grand.
Tennis Monthly?
Tennis Monthly.
How do you sell that to the accounting department?
Well, you can make fun of my path, but
I'm not making fun of your path.
It's all defensive. I'm flying in private jets now. Laugh it up.
All right.
I'm making round trips to Denver.
Yeah, I gotta tell Justin, he really shelled out. I thought that was just a T-shirt. It's one of them long-sleeve T-shirts.
It's one
phenomenal.
Of them long-sleeve T-shirts.
You can't get enough. You can't have enough long-sleeve T-shirts.
Long-sleeve
apparel around. Long-sleeve T-shirts, hooded sweatshirts. The best there is.
Thanks again for that.
I love
gift.
Long-sleeve T-shirts. Unfortunately, I didn't get one from Justin.
Well, you weren't here. I gave Tom the pick of the litter because he was here.
What'd you get?
I got the long sleeve T-shirt.
And what else?
The bar of gold.
Right? Oh, nice. I got a $700 T-shirt, which is very nice, but too small. So, Beth wears it.
We're extra large around here, Justin. Extra large.
I don't know if you know, but we have slight weight problems.
Paul's actually tent.
Comes
after 2X.
I was going to say, you're the one who
2X and then
anything
tent.
Less than 2X. I know you think it's because of the added bulk, but there's other reasons.
Dave from Manchester, United Kingdom, says, love the show, listening to your opinions on the large variety of topics you talk about. But I do...
That's accurate.
But I do feel I have to disagree with you on something from last week's show. Although I am not a great lover of NFL Europe or Germany, as it's turned into, I do think last week you showed a bit of lack of respect. This is not the NFL in the standard of play. Will never be the same, but let's not forget that some very good NFL players have come from this league. A certain ex-NFL Europe guard, Germany, Carolina quarterback, very nearly drove his team to a Super Bowl, only to be denied by a certain kicker, who also was in the Europe. It also produced a two-time league MVP. More importantly, it keeps countless players in a game they love even after the NFL dream is gone. To others, such as our own Ray Ventrone, I'm sure this league keeps their NFL dreams alive. This does, of course, provide a good talking point. Do you think these players would have had the success they had without their NFL Europe experience?
Well, probably not, but I just have to say, as the guy who had to watch the NFL Europe this year to do the Ray Ventrone diary, it's painful. It's painful to watch, and the reason why is because the quarterback play is atrocious. There's no good running backs. That's why all the defenses look so good, because the offensive play in that league is just terrible. I just think it's evolving into a different kind of league, like the Patriots. I just think they sent a bunch of players over. They don't think it's going to make the team. Why didn't Matt Castle go over? Because they want him here. They want him here working in their system, working in their weight program, and you're not going to get those kind of guys over there. I think Del Holm and Marcus Robinson for the Bears were the last two that really made an impact. Did anyone think of...
And I really agree with Tom, and I'm also going to add that, and I have nothing to base this on other than pure opinion, but, I mean, that's what we do here. So we throw it out there, and hopefully no one calls us on it. But I'm going to say that Kurt Warner and Jake Delhomme, yeah, I think they would have had the success that they had without Europe, because what did they come back to from their wonderful stints in Europe? Kurt Warner was so well thought of that his head coach broke down. And, I mean, I know he cries at the drop of a hat anyway, but Dick Vermeil looked like he wanted to quit when he found out that Trent Green was hurt and out for the year in that season. That's how much faith he had in Kurt Warner. That's how much the MVP of the Europe League instilled confidence in his head coach. No one had any idea how good those two guys were going to be.
He cries for Trent, though.
But,
but
my point is, Fred...
cries for everything.
I know.
My point being here, no one thought that Kurt Warner and Jake Delhomme, based on what they had done in Europe, were going to translate to good NFL quarterbacks. Had nothing to do with it. I can give you, for every one of those, I can give you 10 Damian Craigs and Rohan Davies that went over there and lit it up in Europe and came back here and couldn't do a thing.
The only thing it does is there's more tape on a guy. A guy that, in college, you have all that tape. When you get in the pros, you might have a game and a half in the preseason or something. Now you have actually 10 games where he played in Europe. It's a little more tape to go on.
Yeah.
Right. Now, for the players, I understand that the part about Ray Ventrone, I agree with
what
Dave said. That's beneficial for these guys to think that they can keep their dream alive and they have some place to play. But I don't think that any success that they have in that league, or failure for that matter, really translates to the NFL.
And Tom's right. The big problem is it's a different system. It's a system that's put in place over a couple weeks before you start playing with new – I mean, football
is
a sport
level of
where
play.
You need – well, but even that, inherently it's flawed because football is a sport where you need some turnover. You need some continuity continuity so that guys are familiar with the system, know their role. All of a sudden you have these guys thrown together, and here's the offense, and in a week and a half we get a game. Go play it. I mean – that's kind of flawed.
I also look at it as
a problem.
And some people disagree with me, but basically they're all young guys, right? They're all guys that are a year or two removed from college. So I think if you took college football and you stripped it away of the top, say, 20 to 30% talent-wise, which isn't going over to NFL Europe, I think college football wouldn't look like college football looks. It wouldn't be as good.
Right.
So now you couple that with the good points that Andy made about the system being in place and the continuity, and you take away the best players, what do you have left? You have a bad level of football.
Mm-hmm.
And you have all of you have good players. Obviously, the guys that are going over there were good college players.
Mm-hmm.
But they're not the best college players aren't going over to Europe. And you couple that with everything else. And
that's why some of them have success over there, because they are good natural athletes.
Right.
They're surrounded by 80% of guys who are and they rise to the top. And it's why Rohan Davey can succeed over there.
Now, all that said,
it's a hodgepodge offense. Play football, Rohan.
Right.
Throw it deep,
all
and some guy will run under it.
That's
keep
why
it,
the guy
keep
this
it
year,
going.
Hamden, for the Seahawks, it was the same way, just threw it deep.
I mean, you could take a guy who's a natural athlete who can play a little football,
and
he's going to have a little success.
And I heard Kurt Warner talk before about his time before the NFL. He credited the Arena Football League much more than NFL Europe, saying it helped him make
quick reads and decisions
like that.
But that's why those brands are better football on some level. The Arena League, there's more continuity there. Canada, there's some continuity. They have offenses, they have systems, they have guys that play 6, 7, 8, 9 years.
Yeah, the problem in Canada isn't so much the level of talent, it's the rules are a little bit
different.
It makes it a different game.
Right.
Dave has one more complaint. He says, here in the United Kingdom, the new series of The Sopranos has not started yet, so would it be possible to not give any more of the storyline?
Possible to shut the hell up.
Oh, stop trying to
probably
pay
should have rolled
you know
in a few weeks
ago.
I was
going
to say, the season is 12 episodes long, and you waited through 11 episodes.
Well, he did it at the right time, before the last one.
What's going on in England that they can't get
I don't know. What's
it's
going
England.
On locker room
they get our leftovers.
Let's see.
Right? I mean, it's an American program. Should have aired here first.
Should have won the war.
This one last week, so I thought
should have won the war. You'd see it live.
This is one that we didn't get.
That may be the funniest thing he's ever said.
Stan the man wants
Fred,
to read
that
it.
Deserved more laughter from you. You're not paying attention.
What did he say?
He said they should have won the war.
That was
Fred
stuff.
Doesn't like it.
He's not smart enough for him.
Every once
I'm
in a while,
on a toilet.
Every once.
Say that on a toilet and he'd be in tears.
It doesn't matter. Fred decides he's reading the next email. It doesn't matter what you say. He's not stopping.
Stan says, one of the things you can do in the off season is look at possibilities. who might be gone from the previous year. I have sort of looked at that.
David
Gibbons.
It
seems like there are 28 from the team last year that are locks to make the team unless they're injured or something.
David Gibbons. He's gone. He's
not Brady in the Castle, team. Dylan Faulk, Branch Brown, Troy Brown, Graham Watson, Copen, Light, Hochstein, Neal, Mankins, Kazier, Green.
He's a lock.
Wilfork, Warren, Bruschi, Colvin, Vrabel, Harrison, Wilson, Hobbs, Hawkins, Samuel, Miller, and Paxton.
I definitely don't think all of those guys are locks.
Okay.
Others I barely heard
included,
happen.
Although might have a slighter chance to be cut or not on the roster, and they include Gorin, Beisel, Bannekane, and Sanders. I have rated the remaining players as to their
chances. So Russ Hochstein is a lock, and like James Sanders is on the bubble?
I think they're both on the bubble.
I would say so.
Yeah.
I don't think Hochstein's on the bubble.
Oh.
I don't think you have a center if he's on the bubble.
Oof.
Well, weren't they trying out
Stevenson?
Yeah. What's his first name?
Dan Stevenson was playing. So. I don't know. I missed that camp.
I've rated the remaining players as to their chances on the roster below and would like your thoughts on the chances. Certainly, if there are additions such as Law, these would change. And if there are any players injured or on PUP, they would change in the in that direction. Basically, it is one that is very fluid. And that is always the case. Note, as I said, only those with the team last year were included. Alexander was included because I believe his practice squad eligibility is gone. So the 70% chance of staying is Hill, Izzo, and Gay. Down to 60% is Claridge and Childress. Down to 50-50 is Bethel Johnson and Mike Wright.
Well, I think Bethel has a better chance of
50-50.
I would put Izzo in the lock category.
40% chance is Pass, Tucker, Don Davis, and Chad Scott. 30% chance is Evans.
Don Davis is a much higher percentage of that.
30% chance is Murkowski, Evans, Klecko, and Gus Scott. And only a 20% chance is Alexander, Thomas, Poteet, and Yates.
Thomas?
Who's Thomas? S. Thomas.
Santonio.
Santonio.
The guy you
Thomas.
Wrote was Santonio Holmes.
Right.
he'd have a much better chance if his name was Holmes.
Now.
Question about Sam Smith who was cut. I think some had him as a possible sleeper on the 53-man roster. What happened?
Wasn't that you, Tom?
Who is this?
I just threw
Sam
the name
Smith.
Out. I threw the name out. I didn't see him play. Then I saw him play in minicamp, and guess what? After I saw him play, I wouldn't have thrown the name out. I'd have thrown him out.
And they did.
Because you know why? Tom likes talent.
I don't know if you know, but he's more concerned with guys with talent.
Sean McLaughlin.
Twice in love with Bubba.
Well, he's one of those guys, you look at the resume, Smith. He had some of those things that seem like the Patriots gravitate toward.
Yeah,
that's why. He's a safety who played some linebacker and had a lot of sacks. He had like 13 and a half sacks.
The guy had like 18 tackles for losses. I mean, his numbers were eye-popping. But
so he did a lot of different things, but evidently not at a high enough level.
The Globe's been around for 269 years.
Sure. Why not?
That's a long time.
Yeah.
I don't see how that's possible.
I don't know.
Why not?
It says volume 269. Doesn't that mean the year?
No.
I don't think so.
Probably.
No.
How could it be around for 269 years? How old is the country?
What are you talking about?
1776.
I'm asking you. How old is the country?
It could be a colonial newspaper.
They had papers before the country was formed in 1776?
No.
Of course they did.
I don't.
The Boston Globe.
What do you mean?
I don't think the Boston Globe existed before the 1776.
I thought this was a stupid little thing to start.
Good fight.
Now he cares about the war.
Now he cares about the war.
But I'm dismissed as totally laughable because I don't think the Boston Globe existed before 1776.
I said, you think that papers existed? Of course they did.
Yeah.
I know
in
they
In some
did,
sort,
that.
Yeah.
What, like, when you're saying a paper, what are you talking about? You're talking about, like, yeah, I mean, are you talking about, like, someone, some subversives that, like, put out their word and,
I'm talking about some
vigilante groups or something?
They were put out by England.
You're talking about a formal
newspaper?
Sure, there were colonial newspapers.
Of course they did.
But they couldn't challenge the government or anything.
As a matter of fact.
See, that's what I'm at. See, that's
as a matter of fact, the papers back then were killed people. I mean, as far as, like, you know, just personal attacks, it was really very pointed at the time.
See, I think you and I's definition of a newspaper is a different thing.
Well, I mean, did it have advertisements? No. But they had papers that were circulated.
No, did they just have, like, information that of movements that they were trying to put forth?
No, it had.
Yeah, that's a pamphlet, not a newspaper.
They had news. They had the weather. They had obituaries. They had news.
I don't.
We're
going to
get emails on this.
I don't.
Jeez. And it's just a.
They had obituaries in the 1776 newspaper. Maybe I'm being naive. I don't claim to know all like you do. I just don't think that's
out there.
I don't think that's accurate. That's all.
Oh boy! I'll bring in proof. Okay.
You bring in 1776.
Before 1776, they couldn't question the government in the newspapers. That I know.
Of course they did.
They were here. The government was over there. How are they going to find out?
But
they had
underground newspapers.
Now he's going to tell me that they used to have them. Now they used to have them delivered. He's going to tell me.
Benjamin Franklin, before this country was formed, was an editor of a newspaper.
Underground.
That's a good point right there.
Wasn't underground.
That's a very good point right there that I have to.
Yes, they were questioning.
You're not listening. I'm backtracking. You just brought up Benjamin Franklin, and I have to backtrack because now history is coming back to me a little bit.
Oh, for Christ.
I still think they were...
Who knew this would lead to such a good little debate?
First of all...
You guys need to go back and study your American history.
The premise goes,
out of
wait
college,
the premise goes
college
back to the Boston
ago.
Globe. I don't think the Boston Globe has been
I still read, though,
269 years.
Yeah, you read books about romance
is,
and all this
put it.
Stuff. I finished...
Just because it says volume doesn't necessarily mean it's the year. They maybe have different... Maybe they had different stuff during the... Maybe they had... Going
the
back to the
calendar?
Look, I don't know.
Back to the PM and AM days?
I don't know the Globe necessarily is 269 years, but I know for a fact that newspapers existed before this country.
Ask Fred this. If you could question the government in newspapers, then why were there underground pamphlets questioning the government?
Because those were more, you know, radical.
That's what I'm talking about is what the newspapers were. It's more that's
well,
the,
there were
the
some
word
else,
I was looking
but there
for.
Were the common newspapers that were circulated and bought. I'm telling you.
I'm going with Fred here. On history type stuff,
Reed,
usually safe to align with
Fred. Because you're a spineless jellyfish.
He's well read.
All right.
He's much more well read than I am.
I'm saying there wasn't newspapers.
Right.
I don't remember him questioning the government.
I don't see why you would remember. I know you're old, but you're not that old.
No, I'm pretty sure that's what I thought I learned in school, but I don't really have.
See, I think you could have a newspaper questioning the government.
Funny, I thought when you were in school, you
were
here
and
having sex.
They were across the sea. They could get away with anything.
The King of England. The King of England was
having any sex.
Took all kinds of verbal and written attacks from the colony. You know, as long as they paid their taxes, they didn't care. But it's when they stopped paying their taxes and all that
stuff
because when they had problems.
Taxation
without
representation simply wasn't fair.
Oh man!
And can't we just be fair?
All right.
Can we take a break to give people time to email in on this topic? Because we're going to get some emails. I know it.
I kind of feel that.
I really
a
took.
Bit. I think back to. When
I really took a shot in the gut when Benjamin Franklin came up because I got that really queasy feeling as soon as he said it. I was like, oh yeah.
Okay.
See, look, you can't even admit that you're wrong with him. You get so smug about it.
But
and he's going to bring in a book tomorrow or something. That's it. See right here. It says that
a
the
pile of them. I mean, you know, I just finished John Adams' biography.
I'm saying a book that specifically references, like, the Boston Globe and Telegram.
That's what I said. I don't know about the Globe itself, but I know they had newspapers.
Well, it was probably a different name that they're...
I'm sure
it was a different name they're laying claim to that they...
I just don't understand the need for underground newspapers if...
Because they were more subversive. They call to arms and overthrow the government.
That's how they organized their motives that's how they got
I didn't understand why they would need underground newspapers if you could question the government and the newspapers.
Well, you could
that they
but when you're telling people to revolt, that was different, you know.
I got you.
All right. Sean McLaughlin says, is Doug Flutie still talking? I believe he is. Yes.
To come back to the NFL in 98.
I thought I heard him talking about that passing through at BC. Anyway, with June here and the minicamp 2 weeks away, what about the possibility of David Patton being released and coming back to the Pats as a fourth receiver?
Boy,
also,
a hot topic.
When does training camp start? Thinking about coming up to the Cape and making a pit stop to see camp? Any chance it's July 27th to the 31st?
Yes.
There's a good chance it is, yeah. That's probably about when it opens. So
I would say that time frame.
What's July 27th?
Accurate?
I don't know.
But, yeah, there's a good chance.
And he just wants to add one thing. I see some media circles talk about how Rodney Harrison was released after June 1st and snagged by the Pats. I think I'm right. Rodney signed
in March.
The same time Roosevelt Colvin signed.
Same day, I believe.
Better get it right.
That is correct. It was within a 10-day span, they signed Colvin, Harrison, and Tyrone Poole in March.
And Colvin and Harrison were the same day, right? Two of them were the same day. I know for a fact there were two of them that were the same day.
That very well could be right. But it was within a 10-day period, I want to say, in March. That was probably their most aggressive foray into free agency under the Belichick-Pioli regime.
Okay, Phil from Austin. On May 11th, Mike Reese quoted Monty Beisel as saying that he had lowered his body fat percentage and gained 8 or 9 pounds. These days, does it raise any eyebrows when someone says they have added 8 or 9 pounds of lean body mass over a period of less than 5 months? What kind of off-season testing program is there for the NFL?
It's a joke.
I've read a few stories about contact drills during OTAs across the league. What is that? What is OTA?
That's the other word for the camps, the mini-camps. I don't know exactly what
you mean. Yeah, a lot of people use
that. Off-season training?
Training, something.
I don't know.
In your opinion, how close do the Patriots adhere to the rules regarding contact during the off-season?
Well, I think... I don't have an opinion.
I have no opinion on that subject whatsoever.
I think you'll agree that 8 to 9, that's nothing.
That's
anybody
nothing.
Can do that
well,
if you
here's
have
the thing.
Proper diet and training regimen.
That doesn't raise my eyebrows any more than every guy that plays sports in the professional level right now.
I was
going to
say, if you tell me
right
you're
right
an athlete, my eyebrow is already raised.
Right.
Just,
you know, I mean,
professional.
It doesn't surprise me, though, that Monty Beisel said that and raised eyebrows, whereas Mike Wright basically said the same thing to Andy, raised no eyebrows. Monty Beisel is a lightning rod in this town, and Patriots fans hate him.
Yeah, I was in that interview with Mike Reese. That's where I got all my
information. We have two emailers who have emailed. As far as the Boston Globe, it was founded in 1872, which wouldn't be... But the first newspaper was published in 1605.
Okay.
Of the Boston Globe? Or
the Globe?
It wasn't the Globe.
The
it was
Globe
the newspaper.
1860, whatever.
1872.
As 72. The Boston Globe?
It was founded in 1872.
Founded.
But I want to know if it's the Boston Globe that he's talking about, or if the paper could have predated that under a different name.
Well, it was founded in 1872 by six Boston businessmen led by Eben Jordan, who jointly invested $150,000. The first issue was published
March 4, 1872.
It cost 4 cents.
Thought he could skip
it. It was originally a morning daily when it began Sunday publication in 1877. In 78, the Globe started an afternoon edition called the Boston Evening Globe.
And I think that's where your volumes are coming.
Which ceased publication in 1979. So
when did
I actually used to deliver the evening paper after school.
When did they start the evening edition?
That's when they started it. 1878. 1870, I don't know. Who cares?
No, they didn't stop it until 1979. So it was
about facts here.
But it was 100 years of two different issues going on.
But that would put them, I think, beyond volume 269.
I'm just telling you that I
can we get somebody on the horn from
he
the Globe, Gary?
He just said it. How unofficial did that be?
No one has told me why it's volume 269.
Oh, why? I mean, who knows?
Gary, call somebody.
Probably it's another...
Landers, the Globe, somebody.
Probably tomorrow in the little correction thing, it'll say, correction, it's really only our 69th year of operation.
Hi, you've reached the desk of Ken Flanders.
It's a pathetic paper. What do you want me to tell you? Fred's Bible.
I'm off the Globe.
But the Herald's been around for 2,000 years.
Also a pathetic paper.
See how his tune has changed ever since there was a transition
to
the Herald?
My tune changed about 10 months ago, about a year ago, when they changed the whole format of the paper.
When they didn't give him the job.
No, that was this past football season that happened. When they decided to put
10 months ago.
Like riveting stories like Ben Affleck's migraine headache on the front page. That's when my opinion of the Herald changed.
What do you consider a good newspaper now?
The New York Post. I do,
that's
too.
Herald.
That's what I used to read.
I like the sports section of the New York Post.
I like the back page.
I like the sports section.
I like the sports section of the Herald.
I still think the sports section of the Herald is far superior than the Globe.
You mean the three-quarter car ad?
I don't care about ads, Fred. Ads have to go in papers.
The layout
that's how
is
you
so ugly. I can't even read that.
Your telegram and cassette.
It's really hard to read.
So you're not looking for
I
substance.
Online,
you're looking
Fred,
for... Oh, it looks pretty.
I think layout has something to do
I
with...
I go online for my news.
Me too.
The best newspaper in the world is the Wall Street Journal. Hands down.
That's far too cerebral.
I've never read a word out of that in my life.
I haven't either. And I wouldn't. Probably never will.
It's the best newspaper in the world.
But why?
Newspapers are dying anyway.
The way they present the news, the coverage they give it, it's good stuff.
Does it even have a sports section?
No.
It's got zero chance of me ever reading it.
Yeah, I don't even think it does. Unless there's some comics? Business related to it.
Sudoku?
No comics, no Sudoku.
And what the hell would I be reading it for?
And they really blow you away with layout there, right, Fred?
I know, they draw those little teeny pictures.
Rob from Revere, I'm just wondering on your predictions for when Rodney will start his first game. Preseason, regular season,
November.
Early, mid, late, or not at all?
I think he starts the year on the PUP list.
I expect Paul to say not at all in 2006, like he said about Brewski in 2005.
No, like Brewski said about Brewski in 2005.
No, he's pointing you out.
No, you can be smug all you want, like Fred, but Brewski's the one who said, I will not play in 2005.
I don't think he ever said
forego.
That.
Forego.
Get you the statement?
Forego the 2005
forego
season.
Forego the 2005 season. I still have the statement upstairs in my 2005 releases folder.
So he had a second opinion.
No, he lied and went back on it and changed his mind.
He lied.
He changed his mind. As the coaches say, Belichick and Parcells and Rick Pitino and all the other coaches that have done it, I reserve the right to change my mind.
At the time,
that's what he did.
Yeah, but then you weren't dealing with a known thing. You were saying, there's no way I'm going to be able to play. But then things happened.
I don't think that's accurate, personally.
That's completely
and
utterly inaccurate.
The possibility of returning was out there. I think the reason they said forego was because the head coach wanted to squash the whole issue heading into a new season.
Right.
Oh, maybe. Let's see.
That was easy. There was no argument there.
I don't know. I think
that probably, like Andy and Tom just said, probably Rodney starts on PUP in, October. That would put him back at. But I you criticize my opinions and my predictions for being wrong. I'm not taking heat for that one. I based that on Teddy Bruschi saying he would not play in 2005. I said he wouldn't play in 2005.
The only one who was right was Chris Collins.
Yeah, he was the closest to being right anyway.
Yeah. Rob from Arlington, Virginia. Enough of this retiring numbers Patriots Hall of Fame talk.
Okay.
That was from last week. Let's talk
about the Globe talk.
Which current former Patriots belong in Canton? Tom Brady, no discussion needed. Bill Belichick, Robert Kraft, Richard Seymour, Rodney Harrison, Ty Law, Corey Dillon, Teddy Bruschi, Willie McGinnis, Adam Vinatieri, others.
Those all guaranteed?
Well, he's asking. They're all question marks underneath.
I didn't know if those, that
can
was
you,
his
can
list.
You name them one by one?
Belichick.
Yes.
Kraft.
Yes.
I don't know how they use.
I don't. Owners. Yeah. I don't.
Everybody tells me he's one of the most influential owners. They're having their best time ever. Boom. He's in.
Which owners are in the Hall of Fame now?
Oh, I don't know.
Paul Brown.
If there's like one, then no. Well, if there's like 12, then yes.
Yeah, they put a lot in, don't they?
I don't know.
Oh, like the pace, we are all Patriots. He will be, if he keeps.
Yeah. No, I agree with what Andy said. He is considered one of the most influential owners of his time right now.
Right.
But if, like, George Halas is in as an owner and,
I think they all are.
Tech Schramm,
the Rooneys. Yeah.
If all those guys are in, then Kraft has to go in. If, like, there's, like, one guy in the Hall of Fame right now, then I can't just say, yeah, right. I don't know. I have to
Richard Seymour.
Yes.
On his way.
On his way, but not right now.
Not right
now. I don't think anybody's in now.
Rodney Harrison.
Except for Belichick. Belichick is in.
Harrison, no.
Harrison, no.
No.
Ty Law.
No.
No.
Yes.
Corey Dillon.
No.
No.
Teddy Bruschi.
No.
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 Willie McGinnis.
No.
No.
Adam Vinatieri.
Yes.
Yes.
If it ended now?
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Nope. That's fine. I know you have very high standards.
Well, he's not a Patriot anymore. That's the standard.
Even if he was.
But he'll play five more years, so he's a kid.
But that's the standard. If he was still a Patriot, then it would be yes. That's your very high standard to meet. Nope. Not everybody can be a Patriot, Fred.
Nope.
It's a very tough team to crack.
You know how tough I am to get into the Hall of Fame. There's only one.
I mean, if we're talking about drop-dead date right now, I think Belichick is the only one that's in right now.
Oh,
if
absolutely.
If he doesn't coach another game, he's in.
I think
Brady's
in.
Probably
right
in. If Brady retired right now, then he's probably in, too.
Yeah.
Or if he died in a plane crash,
if he just would
get the emotional.
Oh, God.
Well, that happens, right? They do that with, like, Clemente and stuff.
I mean, he didn't deserve it with the 3,000 hits that he had either, you idiot.
I think if Brady puts up one more good year, that'll cement.
What I'm saying is, if you just decided, like Jim Brown, I'm at the top of my game, I've won three titles.
For 10 years.
Right, but if he just decided to retire today, I think he probably would get in. But if he played two or three more years and had middling success, I wouldn't expect him to fall apart.
Yeah.
But let's say that he, plays the next 4 years, makes the playoffs in three of those years, doesn't win another Super Bowl.
I think he's in.
He may or may not be
in the Hall of Fame.
Yes. Yeah.
then he should go in. All right.
He's probably in, and you know
Bradshaw
why.
Bradshaw is in simply because of Super Bowl.
But you know why he's
I agree. I think that gets quarterbacks in.
Yeah, right.
Unfortunately, that is what gets
him. This is my example, if I could say it. Is it? Can I talk?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead, Tom.
After the Cowboys...
This better be good.
After the Cowboys won their three Super Bowls, Troy Aikman never put up big numbers and never won anything again, and he's in the Hall of Fame. And Brady's going to put up much bigger numbers than Aikman.
And you've been
has
that's it.
You've been pretty outspoken that you don't think that Aikman should be in.
Not that he shouldn't be in. I just think he was more of a product of a system. I think he was a good quarterback who was surrounded by a great team.
I agree.
I mean, that's the whole point, though, about the whole... It's just too easy. They seem to have this need that they have to put 3 to 4 guys in every year. And I understand they have an event, and they make money off of it, and it promotes the Hall of Fame. But I just think that there's some years that maybe no one should go in.
I agree with that, too. I think that you're talking... When you're talking the Hall of Fame...
The Hall
you should
of
be
Fame
talking,
game. We'll have no game this year.
You should be there's talking no the best of the best, top 1%. Not a guy who happened to be... lucky enough to be on a Super Bowl champ a couple of times, like Terry Bradshaw.
Right.
You know, he was really 3 times, right? Because the fourth, he quarterbacked all 4 of them.
He was
right?
there
yeah.
all 4.
But he's not. I mean, look at his numbers. Andy.
No,
he'd
I know
stunned.
His numbers. No,
he'd
I was
stunned
I've seen
how
him
little
a
he
times,
did
because everybody uses him as the example.
You'd be stunned how little he did. I happen to think a guy, even though the numbers wouldn't say it, that's much more deserving is
Drew Bledsoe.
No, oh. Namath. You know, even though. You know, and he's in the Hall of Fame with bad numbers, too, but there's a guy who did it all for his team.
Yeah.
He wasn't lucky enough to be along for the ride.
I couldn't
he did everything. I mean, he was that whole
struggling.
League. You talk about the AFL, you know, forcing that merger. That's Joe Namath. Without Joe Namath, that doesn't happen like that. And I think that a lot of people look at, well, he's like 52% career passer,
thanks,
more
no.
interceptions than touchdowns. It was a different game back then. He threw for 4,000 yards. In one season when no one ever did that. No one ever even approached that.
He was throwing for over 400 yards in a game.
No one ever put up those kind of numbers when he did it.
I'm guessing that's a lot.
400 yards?
400
in
yards
game?
In a game?
That happens.
Yeah, but I mean,
how often?
I don't
two
know.
Two or three times a year?
Back
but
then,
Fred said it like something I'd never heard.
Well,
if you had said 600
then,
yards, I would have gone,
that.
Wow.
Nobody was doing
well,
that back then.
That's one of the arguments you could make for Bradshaw is that football was different back then, and he wasn't allowed to throw the football. That's why Stallworth was left out for so long because, well, his numbers weren't great. And
well, yeah.
So it's
but those guys, you know, see, I think all the defensive players, everybody says, well, all those Steelers made it because they won all the Super Bowls. The defense was unbelievable.
Right.
The defense was Super Bowl caliber 4 other times that they didn't win it
right.
all because the offense wasn't good enough. I mean, they had that year, like in 76, I want to say, they had like something silly, like 7 shutouts
yes.
or something, and they didn't win the Super Bowl that year. They lost in the playoffs. That those defense, I mean, the linebackers, you know, Ham and Lambert, Andy Russell, Mel Blount in the secondary, those guys were unbelievable players. None of those guys made the Hall of Fame just because they won Super Bowls. That was a great unit. Forget about the front line with Joe Green and Dwight White and, you know, L.C. Greenwood. And,
yeah, the 76 Steelers
like,
that didn't win the Super Bowl is considered by many to have the greatest defense of all time. I mean, they have a record. It's either 7, whatever it is. It'll never even be remotely, and that's when Bradshaw got hurt. He was injured that year, and they had to go to the backup quarterback. Who was the guy, the African American?
Mike Krucek played, and what was his problem? Former BC player.
But
you're talking about Joe Gilliam, but that was before.
Yeah. He was so politically correct too. He goes the African American.
They want to get in trouble there.
Mac,
only a matter of time.
Yeah. Mac in Somerville. Okay, I'll probably get slaughtered for bringing this up again. This is mostly for
we
Tom.
We don't slaughter anybody.
But you all can answer it too. What would it take for Tom to admit that the Texans made a sound decision in selecting Mario Williams number 1 overall? I mean, hello, you play to win the game. Obviously, the Texans
you got a better chance of winning with Reggie Bush.
Obviously, the Texans believe that by strengthening their defense and having an average running game, they'd have a better shot winning more games. See the 0-1 or 0-3 Patriots formula. Is that so wrong? What if, over the next 5 years, the Texans average an 8-8 record and Dominic Davis averages 800 yards while the Saints average a 5-11 record, but Bush averages 1,400 yards. The Saints might be selling more jerseys, but wouldn't it be fair to say that the Texans ended
up making
a better choice for their team?
But they're 8-8.
Both teams stink.
You didn't tell me that they won anything. You told me they were 8-8. Listen, no one person is going to change a team. Nobody. It takes a team effort. Reggie Bush is just a special player. You can build a lot around him. You can do a lot of things with him. Who knows? I mean, Mario, like I said, I said it 1,000 times. Mario Williams comes around once every year or so. Reggie Bush comes out once every 20 or so years. Listen, this is typical. People like to get on the LeBron James. Oh, he can't shoot. Yeah, he's having a hell of a time in the NBA, isn't he? You know what I'm saying? Every now and again, there's just a guy that's so good that you really can't find flaws in, but some people want to dissect them and find flaws. Just in case he busts, they can say, I told you so. Bush is as good as I, Andy, have ever seen come out. And that's all we're saying.
Why don't I count?
Well, cause you've been around a long time. You might have seen somebody
else.
You saw Gale Sayers come out.
You never told me that he was, so I wasn't sure.
You're old. You've got a lot to choose from.
But
Bronco Nagurski.
It's hard.
Walter Camp.
If I was the general manager of the Texans, it would be hard for me to pass on one of the greatest players that I've ever seen come out in the draft. That's all I'm saying. If the Texans go on and win, that's great.
It's the same argument I brought up last week. In his little scenario, both general managers need to be fired because they haven't built a championship team. But if you know what you're doing, I'll take Reggie Bush with my first pick and then make other good sound decisions. I'll draft a defensive end who can rush the passer. I'll draft this, and I'll put together a good team that just happens to have the best player in the NFL on it.
Right.
When
you have a guy like that who's a rare talent and you can pick him, you got to get him.
And
right.
You know what the thing is?
Mario Williams may be a stud. He might be the one or two best defensive linemen 5 years from now, but you can win without him. And
we can win without
Reggie Bush. Right, but if you have a chance to get him, get him.
But we can put all these scenarios together, too, and say, what if, you know, A, B, and C happens for Houston and they do this, and, you know, X, Y, Z happens for New Orleans. That's hindsight. Anybody can tell you which was the better pick 3 years from now, 4 or 5 years from now. You can figure out
what we think now.
Right now, before we see the guys play a game, we all think that Bush was the guy, the once-in-a-lifetime talent that was you just could not pass up.
And the other answer to his question is, both teams aren't making the playoffs, so yeah, I'll take the guy who's selling more jerseys, because at least I'll make some money on that end.
I just want to just run this round real quick. This is the 76 Pittsburgh. They were 1-4. Okay, early in the year, and they went on a 9-game winning streak to close out the season in which they allowed more than 6 points in a game once. Okay, they had, in that span, they had 5 shutouts, including 3 in a row. They allowed 6 points in one game and 3 points in 2 others.
What happened with the 1-4? Why were they 1-4?
Because Bradshaw got hurt early in the season. And they took a while. They took,
and the African American
to adjust. No, Mike Krucek played.
Mac BC also points out that the actor Paul Gleason died Monday.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he's known for being the bad guy in Trading Places and the principal in Breakfast Club. So I was wondering if Gary had any related drop-ins to send this dude out PFW style.
I'm sure he does.
Man, I miss him.
That was Beaks. I have you.
Don't mess with the bull, buddy. You'll get the horns.
Yes.
Gary, you got nothing?
No.
Ooh,
well done.
Boo.
A couple more emailers, both all about Boston Globe saying that it came out in 1872.
What?
1872.
Yeah.
1972, so that's what, 134 years? Times 2 would be 268. But that didn't add up before. Didn't you say it was only 100 years of the other one?
Well, I don't know. I was just going by the guy's thing.
I don't know. All right. Colin writes in. He said, just has to ask, who gets more starting time at the position? Position 1, if Harrison is out, who starts? To Bucky Jones or Artrell Hawkins?
Bucky Jones. Tom's going to take Artrell Hawkins because DeBucky Jones shouldn't be in the league.
No, I guess I'll take DeBucky Jones.
Okay.
This is going to be one of those. If Artrell Hawkins starts, he's going to say, I let you guys talk me into DeBucky Jones.
I don't give a darn
about Artrell Hawkins. Yeah, I would say the long shot would be James Sanders.
Yeah.
I think it's
even longer shot would be Sam Smith.
I think it's 6-1, half dozen the other.
Position 2, if Rabel is on the outside, who gets the call for inside next to Brewski? Well, we talked about that beginning of the show.
Everyone thinks Faisal.
Position 3, who are the starters at cornerback?
Hobbs and
Ellis
Samuel.
Hobbs and Asante Samuel.
Hobbs.
Mm-hmm.
And how would you guys have time split at halfback?
80-20 to start.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about it at the top of the show. I could see definitely, perfect case. You know, if you're dominating a game and you're controlling tempo and you can run the ball 30-plus times, 20 carries for Dillon, 10 for Maroney.
Yeah, I would agree, 80-20, something like that. It's kind of like we talked about the kicker thing. Best case scenario is you start Corey Dillon week one, and he rushes for 180 yards. And throughout the year, all you're doing is putting Maroney in because you can, not because you need to.
I have a soundbite for Paul Gleason.
Okay.
Oh, Paulie won't see him no more.
Oh, all right, with that, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
And that's full time. The New England Revolution are your Eastern Conference champions for 2005. What a performance by the Rams.
The New England Revolution are revved up for a return to MLS Cup. As summer heats up New England, the soccer action heats up in Foxborough.
There it is! Gillette Stadium explodes!
Don't miss exciting matchups against DC United and Freddie Adu. A Friday night matchup against Real Salt Lake and the New York Red Bulls and Houston Dynamo's first ever appearances in Foxborough. Get to Gillette Stadium for hot soccer action all summer long with the interactive theme park soccer celebration plus free parking all season long. New England Revolution Soccer is an affordable, fun day for the whole family. Tickets start at just $18. Call the Revolution Ticket Office today at 1-877-GET-REBS or Ticketmaster at 617-931-2222 to get your ticks, get your kicks, and get the revolution. From sixth-round draft pick in 2000 to three-time Super Bowl champion and two-time MVP, Patriots quarterback Tom Brady has done it all. Until now.
Tom Brady launches a 60-yard.
Tom Brady is 2005 Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year. And now you can get an autographed copy of the SI cover personally autographed by the perennial Pro Bowler himself. It's the must-have keepsake for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on the Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pre-game field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Sportsman of the Year Sports Illustrated cover autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact, too. Autograph print limited to the first 500 with qualifying purchase. Visit PatriotsExtraPoints.com for details.
Hi, this is Taylor Twoman with your New England Revolution. Learn to play like the pros at Revolution Academy. The Revolution Academy is now enrolling for the 2006 season and has designed innovative, challenging, and skill-specific curriculums for all age groups. Learn how to develop your game, see how the pros practice, and even get tickets to see a Revolution match. By the end of the program, you'll have learned the skills to play like a pro.
Oh, now a shot! Unbelievable! Taylor Twoman!
The Revolution Academy is coming to Cranston, Swansea, Somerset, Tewksbury, Sudbury, Beverly, Foxborough, Smithfield, Westwood, Marshfield, Bedford, New Hampshire, and Portland. To find a session in a town near you or to register, call 508-384-9242. That's 508-384-9242. Or log on to revolutionsoccer.net and score a goal with the Revolution Academy.
Oh, Paulie won't see him no more.
All right, we're back. Fred Kirsch, Annie Hart, Tom Casale, Paul Perillo, PFW in progress. Our email address is webradio@patriots.com. We'll be
this song from the Breakfast Club, by the way.
I got you.
Ow.
We got it.
Tom,
we got new headphones.
I also don't have to be the only one that gets it anymore. I have Tom, who knows all the movies.
We should get our own.
I need something because these suck.
Really not
keep
good.
Going in and out my left ear.
Of course, they do not suck.
No, these suck.
Maybe you have a tumor.
It's not a tumor.
No,
they suck.
You know, we didn't talk about. I didn't get your reaction on our new American Idol. What do you think, Taylor Hicks?
Well, I was happy he won.
Based on the two choices,
Seacrest.
I think he was better than the other finalists, but I don't think that either one of the finalists belong in the final.
Speaking of cans, she looked better.
I think it's
she's
whole
very,
thing is a big setup.
Very attractive.
Very curvy, too.
I like your boobs.
Yeah.
She's like very attractive. She'll go places.
Okay, so of all of them, which do you think of the final 12 will have the most success?
No, if she had done that, she would have won.
I don't think none of them won, any of them won.
I think so. Chris will be all right. He'll hook up with someone, I think.
Chris will hook up in a genre that I'm just not really
and
into.
You know why?
So
his voice doesn't even fluctuate, though, like some of the other rock. Everything he sings sounds the same to me. They're American idols, unless your name's Kelly Clarkson or you go country. If you go country, you can hit it.
Well, let me ask you this. Are they actually, they're singing, right? There's no enhancement. That's live singing, right? There's no studio, no, you know.
But, Paul, you know my theory.
They can make,
they
obviously have the voices. They can make them sound however they want.
But
in studio.
You know my theory on it is that next year they're associated with the show. So next year there'll be a new crop and people will forget all about these.
So you think the only reason why Kelly Clarkson has made it is because she was the first one?
Yeah.
Well, I think she's the best and most marketable in terms of pop.
But the fat gay guy, the fat gay guy who won Survivor the first year, everybody knows him.
But I think the biggest reason for that is the trouble that he's gotten into since.
I also think
who won
Survivor has fallen off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? You don't check the
American Idol.
You don't check the TV ratings, do you?
No,
they don't do anything like American Idol does.
Not like American Idol.
American Idol has stayed pretty consistently strong.
I know the ratings were pretty high because I was shocked that anybody still watched the show.
I don't think they
talk about it on the radio. They still have it in Vegas. For Christ's sakes, who's going to get voted off the island?
I don't know.
Well,
we can't be doing that bad.
I don't know. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I find it hard to believe that their numbers are anywhere near what they were the time when Richard Hatch was doing it. Whereas American Idols are on the rise. I don't understand it. I mean, I watched it this year for the first time.
They argue with themselves. You ever notice that?
What?
Well, I'm in the middle of talking.
Paul's just arguing with himself.
I'm not arguing with anybody. I just said I don't have the numbers, but I find it hard to believe that the Survivor ratings are higher now than they were when Richard Hatch
was on. They were, and that's not what I said. I said they're still pretty high for the show, which I thought would be like at the bottom of the barrel by now, because I can't imagine who's watching it.
Well, not bottom of the barrel, but significant
drop-off.
Do you
know anybody who watches Survivor?
Carol.
Michelle.
Michelle doesn't even watch it anymore either.
That's what I'm saying.
I was a big Survivor fan. This is a total offshoot. I don't want to get accused of arguing, but I watched the first season. And I thought it was great. Then I watched the second season, realized it was exactly the same as the first season, and I haven't watched it since.
I'll probably do the
same thing with American Idol next year.
The ninth season is exactly the same. But I just think people associate with the American Idol people with the show, and then next year everyone's going to be infatuated with the new Kelly Pickler and the new so-and-so, and they just kind of forget about
it. But isn't there also a little bit of, I mean, the Chris guy or whatever, now he'll have a chance to do his thing.
Yeah.
Whatever. I think they're reined in, but like
that
the show
guy.
Was like
controlling. Seems that guy Bo Bice is on his way to being pretty
big. They had one song.
The guy that didn't win, but he's very famous now.
Clay Aiken?
Yeah, I mean...
But what do you mean by very famous?
Yeah.
He sold like 6 million CDs or something like
that. I haven't heard him in 2 years.
Oh, what?
He's huge. He's like after after Kelly Clarkson, he's like number two.
Yeah, they're all like number two after Kelly Clarkson.
But my point is that whether you like the style or not, I think there are people that are going to... I think Bo Bice is on his way to being one of these top 40 kind of guys. He's what? I don't know.
Terrible, but he has like a top five song.
Exactly.
Right?
I mean, you're saying Clay Aiken, like,
but
that's
the longevity.
Some sort of talented
guy? No one's been able to establish the longevity.
I think
Kelly
a lot
Clarkson.
Of that is the pop. You got to be in the pop. If you're not
you
pop, then
the
you
pop.
Can kind of get lost in the whole genre.
That's why if you go country, you can hit it.
Like, Ruben had a big album in whatever he does.
I don't think there have been very many pop artists in general that have come off the show. I mean, I think, like, Carrie Underwood is not pop. She's
country. That's why this chick's going to do better, because she's going to be pop.
Well, if that's what she chooses to do.
If she's smart, she'll choose to do that because she'll make money.
She'll make money if she...
But you don't
Orlando
think,
Cunningham.
You don't think Carrie Underwood makes money?
That were the mobile guys.
Not as much as Kelly Clarkson.
Well, no, she's not as good.
Is she not as good or she's in a different genre?
Not as good.
All right. Let's get back to football. Brian is in Miami, and he says he's got some predictions for the AFC South. Did we ask? Anyway, he's
by the way, that little reality show talk will generate some good, solid negative emails for us.
He's saying the Colts will finish second to the Titans.
The Colts will finish second to the Titans.
I'm on board.
I see a similar situation brewing in Tennessee as what happened in San Diego. Emergence of a so-so quarterback leading to a decision by management to either stick with the winner or switch to the high-paid, high draft pick the following year. Volek puts up good passing numbers for a team that has a poor rushing attack. What do you guys think? And what do
But how do they finish ahead of the Colts? I missed.
Yeah, the Titans are my sleeper team this year, but I'm not quite ready to give them the AFC South title over the Colts.
I think they
could sneak in a wild card maybe if things go right for them.
I if that's to happen, I think it's going to mean a lot of good things for Vince Young in my mind, not for Billy Volek. I don't think that he's that good. I know he's a fantasy wonder. Everybody loves to have him on their fantasy team. I think he's one of those guys that, you know, loves to chuck it, you know, for 350 yards in a game that they lose, you know, 38-24. I don't think that he's a guy you can necessarily win with, but Tom has probably seen a lot more of him than I have.
Do we have a bet going with him?
No, we have who's going to catch more passes. I got White Lightning and you got Givens.
Okay. I knew there was something there.
And
what is it?
And
a lunch?
And Volek likes to throw to White Lightning. That's why I'm hoping he plays more.
What's the
lunch?
I don't think a whole lot of Billy Volek.
What do you guys think about the AFC West? Does Denver win it again? I think KC will be hard to stop with Larry Johnson rushing for 2,000 in likely a tougher defense.
I don't think he rushes for 2,000. No. That's vastly overrated. People are going to be stacking the line against him now. He's going to go for a good 15, but I think this 2,000 talk is nuts.
They need some receivers.
I think Denver probably wins it again.
I don't know.
I don't.
You know what? That's one of those.
I'm not a big Denver.
That's one of those divisions where I think
any of those three teams could sneak up.
Yeah. I mean, even and don't kill me here.
I'm not killing you.
You're gonna say the Raiders?
Even the Raiders. Let's just say.
Okay, now I'm killing
Aaron.
You.
Brooks,
no chance.
Let's just say Aaron Brooks.
I thought he stunk.
He does stink. But I'm just saying.
Let's just say he's going
to
win.
He has some kind of renaissance there, throwing the ball to Moss and Doug Gabriel, who jumped up last year, and Porter, that receiving core.
Curry will be back too, right?
Curry. And I'm just saying, that division is so up in the air that it's one of those where I think anyone could win it, because I don't think Denver
is that
strong.
I think that's good, but I think the
division. I think that's a very good division.
Was there any team that could go either way last year than the Chargers? I mean, one week they looked like world beaters.
I think they're going the other way.
Forget what they were doing.
A team in turmoil.
Well, I think that the problem with them is they made the decision to go to Rivers, and now you're basically stuck with a rookie quarterback.
Yeah.
And a head coach who doesn't talk to his general manager. And now, if you believe those reports, a general manager who won't address certain players.
But that's a, I mean.
Now, is Tomlinson on his way
that's
down?
A problem.
Is he no longer LaDainian Tomlinson?
He still is.
He still has
That's possible, Fred, because there's a guy who's had so many touches over the last couple of years. He really broke down last year.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, his production really, really tailed off because of the injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think that he's, if not the best, one of the top two or three backs in football, but.
Coming full circle, I saw a show with him. There's some show on on MTV that is related to athletes and sneakers. I don't really know what it is, but they were talking sneakers with LaDainian Tomlinson, and they showed a quick highlight clip. And one of two highlights was LaDainian Tomlinson running through Monte Bizel into the end zone.
Oh, yeah. I remember that play.
He had him, like, collared, but, you know, he went in the end zone and scored.
I remember the play.
But, you know, that AFC West could
I just think,
be really bad.
I think any division could.
Oh, I think that's. I think it's a good division. I don't think it'll be really bad. I think that's a good.
AFC North could be
that could,
a really good division.
That could be a very. If Cleveland,
Cleveland
makes the stride. Now, sometimes you kind of it takes you a little bit, but they could be a better team. Cincinnati is a pretty good team. Pittsburgh's a pretty good team, obviously. That's got to make you
happy.
If
Baltimore gets McNair.
Oh, yeah. If Baltimore gets McNair,
but
I mean, that makes them
year,
a formidable team.
Last year in the NFC, the six teams that made the playoffs, only one made it the year before. So it's a league now where anything can happen. It only takes a couple of players, a good coach.
I still don't see any scenario, Tom, where Pittsburgh and Seattle don't go back to the Super Bowl. Sorry.
What about Seattle? Can they bounce back?
How about acid rain?
You know, do you think that most, you know, a lot of teams, when they win the Super Bowl, sometimes take a step back.
Well, it's generally the
losing
team in the Super Bowl.
Trouble.
That's what he meant there.
Yeah.
Because he was talking about Seattle.
Okay.
That's really what he meant.
I'm sorry.
He just didn't say it.
See, I think the Patriots and Colts are definitely up there because they have Brady and Manning. And it's such an advantage to have those two guys. And that's why it's hard for them.
So why aren't the Steelers up there?
I would say the Steelers are up there.
They are up there.
I just.
Big Ben knocking on the door.
You know, you look at the receiver, though, they got Hines Ward. It's the running game scares me a little bit there. They don't really have that guy yet.
Right.
I don't know who that's.
They need Deuce Staley to
they
come back and
one
be.
Because they're not the same team when they can't run the football.
I'm not sold on Wee Willie Parker.
So that's.
Bettis is.
It'll be interesting. I like the Titans as a sleeper team, though.
I can't stand Pittsburgh. I think I might.
It's good analysis.
I
freaking hate them.
I dislike them more than any other AFC East team. You know, I used to hate
What about the Raiders?
The Raiders are up there too. I'm, you know, but I think Pittsburgh.
You hate everyone that's not the Patriots.
No one compares with Miami
Colts
for me.
And the Raiders, I hate them. I hate them.
I hate the Colts.
There's no team that could compare to Miami for me. In terms of personal hatred.
You know, I've never had a real reason to hate them.
Yeah, that 10-40 record in Miami is really. There's no reason to get upset at them.
But you were beaten by a better team. They were just better.
Not always.
That's all. Most of the time, they were better.
Well, sure, but, I mean.
You know, so I don't get mad at that.
So why do you get mad at Pittsburgh then?
Oh, it's the mouse and the fans and, ugh. You know?
Again, great analysis.
That's what I'm talking about. It's not. I don't. If a team's good and they have a good record and they beat us, okay. I don't. You know, start disliking them intensely. It's the talk and the. Ugh.
My hatred for Miami came with Don Shula, and you know he was on the rules committee all the time, and it seemed like they got every break, every call. It seemed like they got every call. How many steakhouses do you think he has there, Tom?
Well, now I know he's got 16.
Okay.
Three,
it seemed like they got every break.
What are we talking about here?
Every time they needed a flag in a key spot, they would get it. Just, you can never beat them. Hate it. I hate Miami. There's my analysis. I'll go with the Fred Curry. I just hate them.
Okay. Let's see.
I don't hate.
They stole the Oilers song.
I'm a lover, not a hater.
Well, here you go. Someone sent us a link.
To the first ever Boston Globe.
Well, almost. The first America's first continuously published newspaper, the Boston Newsletter, published its first issue on April 24th, 1704. John Campbell, a bookseller and postmaster of Boston, was its first editor, printing the newspaper on what was then referred to as a half sheet. It originally appeared on a single page, printed on both sides, and issued weekly.
So that's what I was talking about.
So that was 1704.
Me, but I'm afraid.
So that's
volume 302. What paper is that?
It's not the Boston
Globe.
I just don't understand why that 1872 thing wasn't enough to satisfy Andy.
No, but what?
Press was invented in 1445.
It said the first continuous newspaper, right? So it means it still exists.
And Peter Thompson says, who writes in, he says that the Wall Street Journal is the best newspaper without a doubt. I agree.
I can't believe people that listen to us read the Wall Street Journal.
That is an excellent, excellent point. Why would anybody intelligent enough to read the Wall Street Journal on a consistent basis be tuning in?
Well, I'm sure there are lawyers who like the Three Stooges. It's just, you know, it's a relief.
I don't even, like, I see the Wall Street Journal in a doctor's office. It doesn't even cross my mind to pick it up. I'm reading, like, Women's Day or Family Circle.
I pick it up to get the Sports Illustrated. Right. It's underneath it.
I wouldn't even consider reading
it. You know what? You should try reading it. There's some interest.
Not intelligent enough.
You're like my fourth grade social studies teacher. I got to read the Wall Street Journal.
Paul likes to play this thing like, oh, anyone that likes the Wall Street Journal has to think that they're really smart.
Well, no, they just like wine and drive Mercedes.
No,
I say that at all.
You're using passive aggressiveness when you say
that. It's not passive aggressive.
What's in it?
Please.
What's
in it?
All the news that's fit to print. No, it's
that's the time.
It's really interesting stuff. Whether it's stuff that affects the world economy and whatever.
Yeah, and again, I don't
that
understand.
Affects rich people.
Well, you like, care about
doesn't
gas
affect
prices.
Me.
Do I care about the price itself or how we got there?
No.
Because that's two different things.
Both.
I'm not. Either. No, I'm not interested in reading about them. No.
Okay.
I'm interested in how much it cost me when I go to the pump. That's what I'm telling you. I'm not intelligent enough to.
So you don't
consistently
care. You don't care to understand why the prices are what they are.
No, what does it matter if I know?
Because I don't have any say on it.
What does it matter if I know?
I don't have any control. I don't really care about things I have no control over.
All I'm going to do is get pissed off because I'm getting porked by some politician that I can't do anything about.
I'm
better off in ignorance.
I don't have that level of intelligence where I can.
Ignorance is bliss.
I can add.
Vote for the Green Party like me.
That's
that way
why,
you can say you
voted.
That's
why more people vote for American Idol than vote for the American president.
Because it doesn't matter who's in the White
House. Because all the politicians
Clinton
are shysters.
There 8 years.
Fortunately,
Bush was there 8 years.
Fortunately,
same
I can
country.
Say I vote for neither. So.
But his household votes for American Idol.
She votes for the president.
I just
too,
go
okay.
in. I go in. I pull that Green Party lever down, and I say, there, I've done my duty.
All right. Let's see.
Another good point. Or we very little difference between the last 16 years,
right.
By the way.
Peter says, as for football, I want to chime in on the retired number issue. I hate retired numbers in all sports, unless it's a roof, but especially in football because there are so many players on a roster. That said, I would like to see famous numbers reserved for good players. For instance, I would hate to see Raymond Claiborne's 26 being worn by a chump.
I agree with that. I like that, the legacy thing,
yeah.
Where you have a great player with a great number, and then you have a guy that you think is going to be great, and
but
continue
that
legacy.
You don't know if he's going to be great, so you end up...
No, you don't.
You know.
I actually saw...
Colleges do that all the time.
I actually saw Bob D play at Nickerson Field, but I would love to see a current wide receiver wear 89. I always thought that Larry Eisenhower was a better lineman than D. Speaking of old Patriots, I was saddened to see that former Patriot Tony Sardisco passed away. I saw it on the NFL website. He was one of my favorites on the early Patriots.
Yeah,
see,
that happened,
Brad, that
yesterday or Sunday.
That discussion we had about retired numbers is really, carrying
people?
Itself. I go in, I pull that lever down, and I say, there, I've done my duty.
And you know what? Boy, I can actually see him doing that. There, I did my duty.
Oh, I was thinking about something else. I was thinking about a different duty.
I figured you would, yeah.
I'm pretty sure Gary was, too.
And they're both just about as valuable.
But getting back to the Wall Street Journal, it's really an interesting paper, and you don't have to be Mensa to appreciate it.
Do you have to care?
Well, yeah, a little bit, yet interested in interesting things.
So how many papers do you read?
Not a lot.
You just read the Wall Street Journal.
I don't read cover to cover the Wall Street Journal.
Do you get it?
No.
What do you get?
I don't get it.
I don't get anything.
I get the Globe on Sunday delivered.
You don't
to the
get
house.
A newspaper delivered to your house?
Nope.
Just, you read
just
online?
On Sunday. Yeah, online. I do everything online.
See, I don't like reading anything online.
I don't. I like the paper.
I like having the paper in front of me. I get
the
Globe.
Surprise me.
I get the Globe and Herald delivered to my house. But I'm a dying breed.
I know you are. You like your paper.
Newspapers.
Old people.
Newspapers are going to go. Everybody likes to read online now.
Well,
I hate it. I mean, you got to click, you know, four times to get the same to
sign
store.
In with your freaking zip code and address.
Globe,
don't even get me started on that.
I used to get the Globe delivered. Okay, I don't have time in the morning. And they just pile up, and I never read them. So I said, just Sunday, because Sunday I have time, and I sit down and I read it. There's nothing better than, you have to admit,
Patriots
sitting down
weekly.
And reading the Sunday paper on a Sunday morning.
I can think of a lot of things
with your
better.
Food. Come on, with your food there and you...
How about what if I told you I've never read a Sunday paper in my life? Would you believe that?
Yeah, I would. Okay. Fortunately, I would.
I read the Sunday paper.
I read the Sunday
My
sports,
father
that's
said
it.
One of the best values you can get is a Sunday paper because the coupons pay for it tenfold. So it's like it's like free. It's
I mean,
like
I use coupons, but you end up getting porked into buying stuff you weren't really going to buy.
I like this new invention they call TV. That's where I get my news. If something happens... I click the station. There it is, right there.
And he's done his duty.
And he's done it there.
He pulls that lever, and he's done his duty.
I know what's going on.
The paper is just so old. I mean, the news is old. I go in, I pull that lever down, and I say, there, I've done my duty.
The paper now has to go beyond the 2-minute or 30-second soundbite that's on TV.
But I'm part of the generation that likes the 2-minute, 30-second soundbites. If you're going to give me a paper, you can guess which one I like. The USA Today.
No. Here's where I have to sever ties with Tom.
Just
kinda
all
like
the
those
short,
too.
Quick, tell me what's happening, and get out.
Steve says, please shut up about gas prices, politics, and how stupid you are. This is Patriots football.
I agree.
And it's stupid.
But that's smart.
But, Steve, you got anything to add to the show other than that? I mean,
in other words, Steve, we've run out of emails. We have 5 minutes left, and we have nothing to talk about because it's the off-season.
I gotta say, fans have really tuned out this, you know, haven't been getting a lot of emails for SPFW, not a lot of... So make sure you email SPFW. Paul Perillo will be handling this week's mailbag.
Tom Casale
said that.
Oh, okay. You need emails?
No, we don't need emails.
It's Tom's week. So email in all your David Patton-related questions to AskPFW.
Is David Patton
going to
get released?
We've got enough David Patton questions. Email something else that doesn't include the words Ty Law, please.
Okay.
Is Patton going to get released?
Wait a minute. We got a few
Do
minutes
we know
left.
That?
You're a Patriots fan. You don't work here. You have to email AskPFW something. What would be your question? Andy. Tom. Paul. What would you ask
about maybe the position battles? How do you see that going?
What do you think would be
the biggest, the toughest, most competitive battle.
Yeah, like in training camp, things like that.
Something
I mean,
like that.
I have to be, we should say this on the air. We don't know if Ty Law is coming here. So the emails we get to say, are we going to sign Ty Law? The only answer we can give you is, I don't know. We don't know.
And no one knows.
And what ends up happening is we get criticized not knowing. Or for voicing our opinion and then end up being wrong. Witness the Teddy Bruschi email.
Assuming that I think that the experts know, I would ask maybe, are there any changes in the coaching staff? Because usually they make them and you don't know about them. And you just see some old guy walking around the field, training camp, that you never knew before.
Which, that's a good point, Fred, because there was an old guy walking around rookie minicamp that no one knows who was, and we couldn't get a confirmation of who it was.
Case in point, you know, for all we know.
But I can't tell you who it was because they wouldn't tell us who it was.
Yeah. Well, we got a good one today that asked what kind of blocking scheme do the Patriots use, because they were talking about Maroney fitting into
a
zone. The reason experts thought that is because he did it in college. Minnesota runs a zone blocking. So then they asked, what kind of blocking scheme do the Patriots run? So I thought that was a good question.
Okay. There was also a question that Andy answered yesterday about the differences in some of the linebacker positions. And what the responsibilities include, and do they try to pair up maybe what they consider a weaker outside linebacker, you know, behind Seymour, or do they go with the strength and go with the best behind Seymour? You know, some stuff like that. And, you know, Andy, you know, obviously we're not football experts, so it's hard to answer these questions, but those are some of the things that once we do have access, you know, we can maybe talk to Bill about, maybe talk to some players about and get their opinions on it. You know, specific football-related questions, but instead we get, do you think they're going to sign Ty Law?
What's Bill's contract status?
Yeah.
You know, that's what I'm going to send in.
Unanswerable questions.
Has Seymour's role changed now that McGinnis is gone and he's now the undisputed leader of the defense?
Who will Seymour ride to games with if he's not riding in with Willie?
So, all right.
Why do they stop northbound traffic or
we'll be back here next Wednesday. Have your questions ready. PFW in progress. Until then,
they came into
watch
play,
the
which created
yeah, and have a
some
good
havoc
beginning
for
of June,
the stationary quarterback. So I think that kind of opened that door back up for me a little bit. So. Whoever coaches system.